Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Beat.
Well, that happened quickly. Just having a nice conversation with my buddy Harry Tynowitz, who's in today. Harry, where were we?
You were telling me about how this new girl is changing your life.
Oh, yeah, that was it. We actually were on the last row of the mezzanine in the 1991 NBA Finals.
Ah, what a special time it was for Chicago sports fans.
I know that would shock anyone who knows me or you, perhaps, that there was a Bulls 1991 LA Lakers conversation going on while the Northwestern Wildcats rolled into my alma mater and beat the Iowa Hawkeyes. And I love Northwestern. I'm a diehard Northwestern guy. But there's some bit of pain that the 3-1 Iowa Hawkeyes, the year that I want the Cats to beat them, but not the year where they start out 1-3 and waltz in there. But great job by the Cats today. Phenomenal win and celebration.
A great win. And, you know, everybody played well. Team effort. Coach Fitz was ticked off after the Nebraska loss, and now the Cats are 1-1. What a difference a week makes, huh?
That's right.
Austin Carr. Oh. Already was the leading receiver in the Big Ten going into the game. 3 touchdown catches today. Plus, before he caught a touchdown, he made a great catch on fourth down to keep a drive going.
Yes, look at you. I'm just on top of things. I mean, just off the bench and ready to go. Huh? Knowing your Austin Carr stats?
Well, I was told there'd be food here.
I didn't know there was, but we can get there's actually just some incredible, and I know that you're like the most healthy guy going right now. You look incredible.
I wouldn't say I have fudge in my pocket.
Oh, well, that's okay. And a little
that's not, I mean, I actually have a piece of fudge. There's it's not like a euphemism.
There's an apple, like caramel, buttery, flaky.
You've said 4 words. You haven't said chocolate.
Yeah, there's no chocolate up there, but it's still delicious. I highly recommend. Hey, Wildcat fans. This is your moment in time. If you really want to celebrate with us, you can. 312-981-7200. I was here on Saturday night after the Nebraska loss, and I said, Wildcat fans, I know you're angry. And the Cat fans were out, man.
Oh, sure.
There was fire in the streets going on here.
We took the family to the opener, and we were angry that they lost to Western Michigan.
That was tough.
And then, you know, you lose again. And you think, oh, my God, what's happening with this Wildcat team? You get a win, then Nebraska comes into your house and knocks you off. But just, again, what a difference a week makes. Clayton Thorson, who's thrown 4 picks in the last 2 games, was terrific today. And Justin Jackson and Flynn Nagel on a punt return that got the Cats going.
Yep. Should have scored. Got tackled by the punter. Don't worry about that, Flynn Nagel. It's okay. Hey, Northwestern Athletic Director Jim Phillips will be with us in our Wildcat Insider, which is in the 5 o'clock hour. So we'll get back to Cat football, and we will keep you up to date. Everything going on in and around college football. Huge game in Michigan with the Wolverines and the Badgers, both 4-0 coming into today. On Wisconsin. No score in that one late in the first quarter. I don't hide my Michigan hate. Is that wrong?
Are you going to go for Halloween dress as Jim Harbaugh?
You know, it's interesting. I was reading something about Jim Harbaugh today, and there's a very famous photographer who spent the entire first year with Harbaugh, and he talks about, you know, I've been around Muhammad Ali, and I've been around the Dalai Lama. There's crazy names he threw out there, and he said that Jim Harbaugh's like right there.
What?
Like when Jim Harbaugh
in terms of intensity or in terms of like the fame.
When he walks into a room,
his aura.
Yeah, his aura. The Jim Harbaugh aura. Isn't that a little bit much?
Do you remember Ditka just yelling at him, undressing him when they blew that game against the Vikings? Harbaugh audible and he threw the pick and Ditka just tore him a new one on the sidelines. That's the day I think changed Harbaugh's life.
I remember Ditka saying something stupid every single day. Did I say that? Is that wrong?
Come on, it's coach. Coach.
I know. We talk. Okay.
And I know you have Bears on your agenda somewhere today.
Yes, of course. The Bears and the Lions tomorrow. We have that on our agenda. This is a team effort here.
Team.
Team. We're together.
Team.
Yes. What movie is that from? Team.
Team. From a lot of movies.
Well, I'm thinking of Al Capone and Kevin Costner.
Untouchables.
Untouchables, right?
Yeah. Team. When at the plate.
Team.
Yes.
Team. No, that's I don't feel like you're going to bash my head in like
no,
that.
No, I'm not.
Okay, good.
I'm not. Sean Connery is great in that movie.
It's a great film.
They sent one of yours to the hospital. We sent one of theirs to the morgue.
Yeah, can you imitate his voice for me? Do you have that in you?
I would turn it into like an impersonation of Saturday Night Live Sean Connery.
Okay.
You know, cause I'm a big James Bond fan. James Bond is awesome. So, like, if I did, the Bond, James Bond, that's different than the Sean Connery we see when they do the Celebrity Jeopardy, which is one of the greatest skits going. Brand new Saturday Night Live, by the way, tonight.
Yeah. It's going to be a festival of Donald and Hillary.
Alec Baldwin as Trump all season.
Hey, we have a very creative, or at least moderately creative, I don't want to overstate it. I want to under-promise and over-deliver. Normally, I overpromise and underdeliver. You know, I've been working on that. But we have a Hillary and Donald sports platform for you at 4 o'clock.
Oh, so that'd be good.
If you're scheduling the show in your life, be here at 4 o'clock. If you want to have sports and politics all intermingled together in a very fun and entertaining way,
and it's not really politics.
No, it's not. It's not. They are the two major politicians going on in this country right now. So it's like slightly political, I suppose. Right?
I would say they're pretty big.
Well, I think we just have done an incredible job in this country. If I can just take a supreme left turn. Nothing that we want to do more in our lives right now is be entertained. Like, you wake up in the morning, Facebook, let me get on Insta, let me get over to Twitter, let me get on Pinterest, let me read something that's going to get me going. We have created the most entertaining election of all time. Forget about anything else. We have created this.
My 11-year-old son is going to be so disappointed in 4 years when it's just an election.
Right.
When there is no Trump versus Hillary.
Right.
When it's just politicians who are qualified running for, the highest office in the land.
Right. Rather than talking to each other and having meaningful dialogue or, it's maybe sitting down with your wife, your girlfriend, your best friend, your son, your daughter. We just have created this huge distraction so we don't have to be with ourselves. We can just watch the election unfold.
Did you watch Monday Night Football or did you watch baseball? Or
no,
did
I
you
was,
watch
I
the
was,
Trump Hillary?
84 million strong. Well, of course, what I was doing Monday night, Harry, as you should know, is Monday night is tennis. So we can't.
Sure, Monday night tennis.
Yes.
Match what I grew up on.
Hey, it's
Connors and Borg Monday night.
Right.
Color me there.
It was me and it was me and Eric on Monday night. He took me down in straight sets, but then I came home.
Eric LaSalle? Eric Estrada?
I think it's Eric Matten, one of the great Eric Mattens. Yes.
Okay.
Matten took me down.
Eric Kramer?
Eric Kramer, great comeback. Having that name out there.
Oh, yeah. Eric Kramer. He had one of the greatest years ever in the history of the Bears for a quarterback.
Yeah, and been through some trials and tribulations, Eric Kramer, and coming back strong. Hey, we'll get the show going even further, really dive into what's going on in the baseball with down to 2 days left to go here. And it's a huge day for what's going to happen as far as who the Cubs will play come Friday at Wrigley Field.
Right. We know when the Cubs will play. We just don't know who the Cubs will play.
But we're learning more and more by the moment. So we're going to bring that to you coming up next. And we all have our fears. I'm going to lay out some significant fears. Are you fearful? Are you confident?
I'm fearful of your third date with this new girl.
Okay.
Yeah, there's one team I want no part of for the Cubs. But other teams fear the Cubs more than the Cubs fear any. Cubs fear no one.
That's true. I do believe you. It's a confident group. Hey, this week on Chicago's Best, whether it's Memphis or Texas style, Brittany and Elliot are smoking all the meats. It's Chicago's Best Barbecue, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Harry Tynowitz, it's so great to hear his voice in the studio today. The scenarios, your baseball playoff scenarios, it's ongoing. It's coming right at you next, 720 WGN.
2-1 pitch, swing and a looper to shallow left. On comes Conforto. Conforto slides, makes the catch, put it in the books. The New York Mets, for only the second time in franchise history, are going to the postseason for a second consecutive year.
Does that make you nauseous?
It does. I'm not a Mets fan. I have angst towards the Mets and Cardinals, and I don't know if a lot of the millennials realize why Cubs fans have a lot of angst towards the Metropolitans.
Howie Rose, Mets Radio Network. I know. In 1984, Harry, I was turning 11, and there was a four-game series. I know you remember with the Cubs and Mets in that August. For my birthday, we were in the section like 222, last row of the terrace, five of my friends with Papa Fred Carmen, who packed salami and corned beef sandwiches for everybody, huh?
What a good man.
Because Papa Fred was not going to be paying $2 for a hot dog. No chance.
I was at all four games of that series to turn the season around. The Cubs went into that series trailing in the old division, of course, the Eastern Division, six teams, and the Mets and Cubs were adversarial. And
yeah, we hated them.
We swept the Cubs swept the Mets, and after that, they never looked back. And that's the series where Ed Lynch got into it in the locker room. The former GM of the Cubs was a Mets pitcher. Got into it with Bruce Levine. Without you, I don't have a job.
That's just, you brought up Ed Lynch, and I just start thinking about Ed Lynch and that era of Cubs.
But then think about Theo, and it's all good.
Oh, my God, does it make you feel good?
Theo, Jed, Jason, it's all good.
5 years, $50 million. Congratulations, Theo. How about if Theo had played it out and said, you know what, Tom, I love you, but I do want to see what exactly I'm worth on the open market. You had every team in baseball bidding on Theo. Does he get $20 million a year? Because he might.
He's too smart. He's gonna get all the money he needs. And hey, what's the difference between $50 million and $60
million? I'm saying $100 million. I think he could have gotten double. How much would you pay? Like, that's the most important guy, but beyond any player by far.
Oh, yeah. He put him all. I mean, he came here and he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get. Because the history of the Cubs is every time that they would win the playoffs, they would just say, oh, all we need is this and this, and we'll get that. And they'd like patch it together. So at 98, they go to the playoffs. They're like, oh, we'll be fine with Gaetti again next year.
Yeah.
You know, Theo came here and said, look, we're going to tear it down. We're going to get rid of everybody. We're going to be bad. But in 5 years, we'll be one of the best teams in baseball. And they, you know, they might be the best team in baseball right now.
And I had so many thoughts about that I forgot all of them. But the what I'm trying to say here, Harry,
yes,
is Theo, first of all, I'd hire him to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'd let him, you know, my taxes are still not complete. What's the date today? October, whatever?
October 1st.
Got to have it by the 15th. This is a good reminder. Let me mark that down.
You're extended.
Yes, I'm in an extended situation here. The point is, I would trust Theo to do anything. And, oh, here's my point.
Yes.
Now it came back around to me. Thank you. Little ADD kicking in. There was many pundits in this town who said, you can never tear it to the ground. The fans won't support it. You can't do that. It's a big market club. And I always was like, not to pat myself on the back here, but I'll do it. Why not? Of course they're going to support them. They're the Cubs. We've been supporting them forever. So, of course you can do it the right way. And finally, somebody had the courage to do it. So Tom Ricketts gets a ton of credit.
Yeah, Tom Ricketts is a genius. And what he's done
It's not even a genius. Like, logical. He's just a logical, good, smart businessman.
Well, I mean,
and I like how he shakes hands.
I think Rocky Wirtz was logical. I'm not saying Rocky's not a genius, but Rocky Wirtz made a couple moves that, like, all sports fans would have made. And, you know, he brought Pat Foley back. He put the home games on TV. He paid John McDonough. He brought John McDonough in and said, please run this team, make it a success. I think what Tom Ricketts has done with his visionary, you know, he's a visionary.
He is.
He's not an owner. He's a visionary. And to bring in Theo and what they've done, the way Theo pounced on Joe Maddon like it was a fumble in the Super Bowl, and what they're building now, and they didn't build it by saying, let's start on top of the McDonald's. They said, let's tear it down, and let's put up our new hotel, and let's put up all this community. And I hate the Mets. And you know, their win today ensures them that they host the wild card game.
Yeah, getting around to the tease there that I'm sorry we didn't pay off in proper radio form. There is some program director out there that doesn't like how we took too much time to get there. But the Mets did win today. They beat the Phillies 5-3, as you heard in our cut coming back here. So New York is in, and they are going to host the wild card game. Most likely against the San Francisco Giants. The Cardinals still have an outside shot. So when we come back after the news here, we can go into further detail and why the New York Mets in the last 39 games played in all of Major League Baseball, it is true that they're the hottest team at 27-12. So just don't drive into a tree if you're driving right now, and don't think about getting swept out last year, but just put that in your overconfident pipe and smoke it. The New York Mets are the hottest team in baseball right now.
They'd be the easiest kill for the Cubs.
Oh, I hope you're right. We'll talk about that coming back. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Great to be with you this afternoon. Harry, people are texting me saying, great to hear Harry Tynowitz. Huh?
Oh, that's wonderful. That makes me feel good. That makes up for what happens at home.
Oh. Yeah, sure. I'm sure.
Always thrilled to be a small part of WGN Radio and to be here with you, Mark. Last time I got to be with Sam Panyavich, and I get to be with you today, and it's just, it's a blast. Home of what's happening in Chicago.
Absolutely. So, hey, we'll take some, we're doing some baseball talk right now, and a little bit of the playoff picture coming into focus today with the Mets hosting the wild card game after the Mets beat the Phillies. Bartolo Colon.
How about it?
The ageless Bartolo Colon, 15-8, the ERA 3.43, as he went five innings today, five hits, couple of runs, threw 61 pitches, and then the Mets bullpen went from there and got her done.
Careful what you wish for, but these are not the same New York Mets that the Cubs faced last year where they could not do anything against that tremendous starting rotation. You know, they are without Matt Harvey, Zach Wheeler, Steven Matz, and Jacob DeGrom. They I mean, they're not the same team. And Daniel Murphy is no longer a Met to hit a home run every other at bat. But they could run into Daniel Murphy down the road anyway.
All true, but again, the New York Mets are the hottest team in baseball at 27-12 in their last 39, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
There was good news today as far as the Mets getting in, even for those like myself who fear the Mets. Noah Syndergaard was going to pitch tomorrow if it was a game that mattered.
Oh, good point.
So now the game doesn't matter. So if he had pitched tomorrow, he couldn't have pitched the wild card game on, what was it, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever it would have been.
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Wild card.
Okay.
In the National League.
In the National League. Okay, so he can't pitch. He's going to be able to pitch in the Wednesday wild card game. He will pitch in the Wednesday wild card game, which means that he won't pitch, you would think, in games one or two in Chicago, and you'll only see him once in the series, which is good for the Cubs. If the Mets had won today or had lost today and tomorrow mattered, he would have pitched and been in line to pitch Friday. So celebrate that. I'm going to. I hope you do as well.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And the way this first round lines up for the Cubs, the National League Division Series, they're going to have two off days. So it looks like, that would mean that the game would be, what, Monday night? Mm-hmm. And that's when we would see him if he can get the Mets to win the wild card. I got home last night, watched Dodgers-Giants, just to hear Vin Scully.
Yeah.
I want no part of the San Francisco Giants, Mark.
And right now there's no score, Dodgers and Giants. We'll get into your fear of the Giants in a second. They're in the third. The other thing worth mentioning that happened today, the Cardinals and the Pirates, St. Louis stayed alive, winning 4-3, a go-ahead homer by, how do you pronounce his name, Jed Jerko, second baseman, 2-for-4 today. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. He's been great. He's played short. He's played second. He's been ridiculous.
Yeah, well, he's at second today, went 2-for-4, and hit a bomb in the eighth.
He's had so many homers. I mean, he and the kid Dozier up in Minnesota have been like the home run kings for the, you know, for the last 6 weeks. It's as much as I'd love to see, you know, I really enjoyed the Cubs eliminating the Cardinals last year.
30th bomb, by the way.
But I'm telling you, he's been ridiculous. And the Cardinals as a team, they're the home run team this year. They're not the stolen base team.
Right.
Whitey Herzog is not happy, wherever Whitey is, but... You know, the Cardinals forever have been a team that runs and has like one thumper. And now, you know, they're getting tons of homers and tons of pinch homers. But I'd love to see St. Louis not even make the playoffs.
See, I want them in. I think they're eminently beatable, and I would feel very comfortable playing the Cardinals, who are now a half game back of the Giants for the second wild card. So they won today, took care of their business. Now they need help. They need the Dodgers to win. So we could have a Monday tiebreaker.
Love the Monday tiebreaker.
The Monday tiebreaker would be amazing.
And we could have one in the American League,
yes,
as well as the National League. And Clayton Kershaw, of course, as you know, is throwing that game today for the Dodgers.
Right. Dodgers and the Giants. So the Giants.
The Dodgers.
The Dodgers now a game and a half behind the Mets. So in order, now we're spinning. They have to win today. The Mets lose tomorrow, all that type of stuff. I guess home field will be back in play. So you're dealing with Clayton Kershaw on the mound today. He's given up 3 runs in 21 innings since coming back off the DL. 21 innings, 23 strikeouts. Excellent ratio, more than 1-1. And how many has he walked in 21 innings since coming back?
0.
1.
Ah.
Uno. So
pitched around him.
Right. Now, Madison Bumgarner, Johnny Cueto, your two guys that you are not they're not going to start in the regular season again, but you will see. So you're most likely going to have Mad Bum on the mound for the wild card, and you're going to see Johnny Cueto at Wrigley on Friday if it's the Giants.
And the Shark game two.
And the Shark game two.
Now, although the Cubs battered Jeff Samardzija when the Giants were recently at Wrigley Field, it will be such a Cub thing for like Samardzija to throw a two-hit shutout. You know,
I'm sick.
I don't think it will happen. Of course, the Cubs offered Samardzija, you know, a huge deal, and he didn't want any part of it. And if not for that move, if Samardzija said yes, we would never would have had Addison Russell.
I think Samardzija would quibble with you there, say no, they never offered me a huge contract.
They offered him a very big deal to be a Chicago Cub. They offered him security for a lifetime.
I think they offered him $85 million, which you can live on that. I mean, that's
do you think
that's a possibility? He ended up getting 90. He thought he was going to get like 140.
And you could
he ended up getting 90 and having an ERA near 6, and he still got 90.
Right, which is insanity, but. It's like one of the best things that's ever happened in the Cubs, Samardzija turning that deal down, because now Addison Russell
is the greatest player ever.
Yeah. The next 5 years, the role of Derek Jeter will be played by Addison Russell.
312-981-7200. We were talking about Theo and his extension a little bit. Ron called in on that. So welcome to WGN, Ron. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mark. Hey, Harry.
Yo. What up, dog?
How's it going? Hey, the day they announced that Theo Epstein was the new general manager on the Cubs.
President, but yeah, go ahead.
Bruce Levine was on the corner of Addison and Clark. And I just happened to be in the neighborhood, and I pulled up to him, and I said, hey, I go, they could bring Jesus Christ in here, and it's not going to change anything. And Bruce Levine said to me, not unless they get the right people, but you're right. Well, Theo Epstein made a believer out of me. What he did in this 4 years or 5 year tenure. And this is probably the best Cup team that's ever been on that field.
Hey, Ron, Harry and I want to do some further work with you right now, because we want to know other areas in your life where you're overly negative and don't consider the possibilities that happen. Because you should have been excited that day when Theo was coming, Ron, but you were dialing negative. Maybe you do that elsewhere.
Hey, if you live in Chicago for all your life, you've seen a lot of heartbreak, okay?
Yeah, there's been a lot of heartbreak, a lot of setbacks, but certainly now, Theo's genius.
The only thing that stands in the way of the Cubs winning the whole thing is themselves. That's the only thing. Not another team, not a curse to the Billy Goat. It's all up to them. They got the right leadership. They got the right ownership. It's all in their hands.
You do know that the Giants have won a bunch of World Series, and they do have a lefty who has never not pitched great in the postseason, right? I mean, he's standing in their way, too.
Right, and you point out the three.
Also that they've all won their World Series in even number years, and this is 2016, and it's an even number year. So
yeah,
that's agreed.
Right.
But last year, after they beat the Cardinals, they thought it was all over, and they were overconfident.
Maybe so, but
hopefully they learned a little bit from last year, and this team is a much better team than last year.
They're a much better team than last year. We appreciate the phone call. You know, last year they ran into one of the great starting rotations in baseball, and that starting rotation doesn't exist. But with the Giants, you have two studs. With the Dodgers, you know, you have Clayton Kershaw, and then you got a couple other studs there. There's, you know, you say the Cubs just have to worry about beating themselves, but every one of these teams is going to come in with a couple of top-flight starting pitchers, none of which are as great as the Cubs starting rotation.
You know, what happens, if I may take a left turn here, what happens when you come in to co-host?
Yes.
I guess just royalty calls in. This doesn't happen when I'm here by myself or with Kevin Powell or whoever.
What we got?
I believe we've got a man who grew up in Harvey, Illinois.
Tom Dreesen?
Yeah, that's correct. He you know, knows Johnny Carson, knows Frank Sinatra, and apparently knows you, Harry. Is this really Tom Dreesen calling in?
Mark, I want to know, where did WGN get the money to get this brilliant, this sports genius? This comedic sports genius, Harry Tynewitz, If the Cubs had that kind of money, we could probably get Kershaw to come to Chicago.
One of the greatest comedians in the history of the world and one of the greatest Cub fans, Tom Dreesen. And, boy, Tom, you have been through it all with this team. Like me, you were there when they were god-awful, and you've always stayed true. How wonderful does it feel to have this team that's won over 100 games and look like they're a beast heading into the playoffs?
I have to change my underwear every hour on the hour.
Don't you have people that do that for you?
Yeah, I haven't made your kind of money yet, Tynowitz. When I get your kind of money, I'll have that valet. It's an exciting year. But I've got to tell you, while you're talking about Theo, 5 years ago, Rick Sutcliffe told me, we were having a few beers, and he said, hey, this guy is going to bring a World Series to Wrigley Field by 2016. I went, yeah. He said, Tom, I'm telling you, this guy is going to, and he said, you're not going to like it for the first 3 or 4 years, but he's going to bring you a winner. And boy, Rick was right on the money.
It's no doubt. And Rick Sutcliffe can see the future. And if he could have convinced Jim Frey to let him start in game four, maybe we would have had a World Series before that. I don't mean to bring that up.
But you're absolutely right, because the three best pitchers in baseball that year, and Tom remembers, three best pitchers were Sutcliffe, Dwight Gooden, and Steve Trout. And he went with Sanderson in Game 4 and Sutcliffe in Game 5, and he could have just gone Sutcliffe in 4 and Trout in Game 5.
He was saving him for the World Series. We're not going to do that this year, are we, Tom?
No, we're not. By the way, I was bad boy in those years. You remember, Harry, Jim Frey would let me be bad boy like 4 years in a row for 3 or 4 or 5 games, and I would come in town and I'd perform at the Zanies and all the players and their wives would come and hang out. In fact, the first year I was bad boy, Jamie Moyer and Greg Maddux were rookies that year.
That's unbelievable. And they both had unbelievable careers. And I know that, you know, Moyer gave up a ton of home runs, but he had an unbelievable career, Digger Phelps' son-in-law, and Maddux. And again, you should see the way we've fawned over the Cubs fawn over Tom Dreesen. You should see the team, the announcers, the ownership. Everybody gets so excited when Tom is at the ball game. Tom, this is a team that, like, all I was worried about was the bullpen. And now with Aroldis Chapman, he's throwing the ball 104 miles per hour. I don't see a weak spot on this team, Tom.
No, I don't either. And the interesting thing is how Joe keeps putting him in different positions to keep him sharp. A lot of people aren't for that, but I am. You know, because if you play one position, you know, all year long, you get a little stale at that position, you know. And I love the way Joe is doing that. Oh, man. And by the way, the greatest acquisition of all, besides all them ballplayers, is Joe Maddon. You know that.
So we're going to talk about Joe Maddon, what's going on with star pitcher Jake Arrieta and some angst. By the way, Tom, I don't want to scare you, but I am a stalker when I'm not on the radio, and I believe you're going to be the master of ceremonies for the Illinois Chief of Police tonight at the Drury Lane Theater. Is that not correct?
Believe it or not, I'm in the car on the way over there to do that, yeah.
Yeah, I got a guy following you.
I've been in town for 3 weeks working my rear end. I'm running from one place to another. But I did throw out the first pitch and did sing Take Me Out the Ball Game at Wrigley, so that was a lot of fun.
They have done, you know, kudos to the Cubs because, you know, Tom Dreesen deserves to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, but they have done so many games where it's sing along with Harry or sing along with Ernie or sing along with, you know, Sano. And I love it that they've cut back on, you know, the Kelly Picklers of the world and just, you know, made it true diehard celebrities and Cub fans. And I'm pretty excited, Tom. This is the guy Sinatra hung with. This is Tom Dreesen. This is awesome.
You know, everywhere I go, Mark and Harry, I mean, I'm talking about Brooklyn and Boston and New York and L.A. When I'm interviewed, they say, okay, are you Cub fans? A little nervous now because, you know, every year that you think you've got it, something will happen. I said, yeah, us old-time Cub fans, but not these millennials. They don't feel that way at all. And those young kids on the field, they don't think about any curses or goats and cats and stuff. They're all in. And so I'm real feeling real good about this team. I really am.
Tom, I think you just made all of Cub Nation feel better with those words right there. Hey, don't be a stranger. You don't have to. Harry doesn't have to be here for you to call in. But I love that you called in for Harry because we all love Harry.
Well, you know, Harry's got an exclusive with me, and I do anything he asks. Can I be honest with you? Harry's got a picture of me with a goat, so I'll do anything.
That's Tom. That's the only goat curse Tom is worried about. Tom, it's great hearing your unmistakable voice, and you're awesome for hosting the event tonight. I can't wait to see you again. As fun as it is to watch you perform, it's even better having dinner with you. So I hope to get to hang with you soon, Tom.
I'll do next time we come in town, Harry, that's for sure.
Sounds awesome.
I'll be in November. Okay, buddy.
Thanks, Tom.
Take care, Mark. Good to talk to you.
Yep, the great Tom Dreesen joining us on the fly here, 720 WGN, as we get ready for the playoffs. That did put me in a hole. The celebs are it's going to be a big scene, man. Big scene.
Oh, yeah.
If they get to the World Series.
I don't know Bill Murray. I can get Joel Murray to call in.
I wonder, the funniest Murray. I wonder where Bill will be sitting come the end of October. Hey, a quick timeout. We'll give you the rest of the playoff scenarios. There's a lot of stuff going on in the American League as well, which, of course, will play into when we get to the World Series. 720 WGN. Hey, it's coming out on the text line. Carmen Harry, really, really, really hyped up Cubs. Have you watched their postseason since 1984? Dudes. 720 WGN. Hey, you want to get nervous about the postseason? I feel you. It's okay. I remember 84, 89, 98, 03, 07, 08. Remember all of it. 15, we can throw that in there too if you want. Somebody outside the studio right now. Hang on, Harry. You see that? Do you see that? Do you see what I'm seeing?
I see a Cubby's chocolate bar.
And you can. Where'd you get your. At Fannie Mae, you got a Cubby's chocolate bar? Does that mean they're going to win the World Series? Oh. Thumbs up is not good for radio. Yes is better.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow. You got attractive women holding Fannie Mae.
Yeah, that's timing. This is.
Oh, a good boy, day for
you.
Oh, boy.
Thank you so much
for your support. You ladies planning on sharing that?
She's laughing at you on that one, Harry. They're not bringing that chocolate in. It's all.
Just two women laughing at me.
They love you. Left, right, in the middle.
Right. Chicks dig me.
Yes, they do. So, yeah. It's finally, bottom line, it's finally here for the most part.
I mean, realistically, what I worry about most with the Cubs is they have a tendency not to hit with runners in scoring position. So if you're looking at, well, how could the Cubs possibly lose? One way is they could not hit with runners in scoring position. Another way is the bullpen can be worrisome before you get to Aroldis Chapman. Strope, Rendon, don't know. I mean, I assume that they're both 100%. I like big Travis Wood fan. I like Carl Edwards Jr. I've got a friend that, you know, cringes every time he comes in, which I don't get. Justin Grimm has pitched very well, but he got, you know, hit lately. You know the hottest Cub relief pitcher going now is Joe Smith, who I don't even think is going to be on the playoff roster.
He might not.
Yeah, he shouldn't be.
And if you're wondering what's going on today in Cincinnati, Cubs are trailing the Reds 3-0. John Lester, couple of innings, 3 hits, 3 runs, gave up a 2-run bomb. Not necessarily the last start you want to see from Lester, but I don't think we want to start worrying about John Lester right now.
No. And I'd love him to win today because it would be his 20th win, of course. But let him get that bad outing out of the way now. You know, you don't want to see it happen in the playoffs. Let him get that bad, the DePaul factor. Play great all year and then get to the first game of the playoffs and implode. So let's get John Lester's, and, you know, 3 runs for a lot of pitchers is a great game.
Sure. I mean, it's only 2 innings so far. I guess if he holds the line there. Listen, John Lester's been unbelievable. He deserves to start game one of the playoffs. What's not unbelievable is the angst that's going on with Jake Arrieta, Miguel Montero, some other Cubs who are apparently not liking the spring training atmosphere, and Joe Maddon, according to some Cubs, like trying to be quote-unquote too creative.
I mean, I
don't get it. I don't get it. I really don't. Like you've clinched the division. You've clinched home field. I mean, this was Jake Arrieta. Here, we'll play it after the 4 o'clock news. We're going to hear from Arrieta coming back here because we're up against the break here.
And you know, Joe Maddon's a genius. I don't know how you call him out
by his own guys right now.
Right.
I mean, the guys he brought in the onesie. What more do you want from a guy?
Love it.
He's got animals. He's got onesies. He's got. Does it make you come to the field super early? Lets you have your all that.
The key to this team is every guy comes to the field thinking I'm going to play today. That's what Joe Maddon brings to the table.
That too, and that's knowing they're getting a day off. All right, 4 o'clock news. We'll hear from Arrieta after 4. 720 WGN.
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
720 WGN, 4 o'clock hour. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz with you till 7 o'clock tonight. Blackhawks hockey on the air tonight right here on 720 WGN. The preseason is here. The Blackhawks are back. Hey, Harry, would you agree that certain things in life are important and certain things in life are maybe trivial?
Yes, yes. I try to remember that all the time, but yes, that's certainly valid.
And I'm going to get to Jake Arrieta and Joe Maddon and how that slightly applies in a second, but I just like to do a public service announcement from at the Carm on Twitter. Please follow me. It makes my life better. I judge my life by how many followers I have.
That's not good.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. I should probably move off of that, but it's very important. I don't exactly know how many followers I have, but I believe it's 7,109.
That's a lot.
108. I was off by one. I think somebody just unfollowed me. It's unfortunate. Okay, so I'm in.
You weren't related to them, were you?
Could have been. Right before the show today, I wanted to be fresh for you the whole way. I felt a little scratch of the throat, so I went across to Argo Tea, right?
Yes.
Well, I wanted to get a little honey, a little mint tea.
It's in the lobby of the Tribune Tower here.
Yeah, it's a new thing for me, the mint tea. I'm getting into the mint tea. Do you like a mint tea?
I've never had a mint tea.
It's a really delicious tea. You should try it.
I like a Mr. Tea.
I love Mr. Tea. Bring him back. B.A. Baracus. So, woman waiting for her tea as I'm waiting for my tea. She gets one of her teas. She's waiting for the second tea. Second tea's not coming. She goes full meltdown at the barista stand. Hey, I've been sitting here with one tea. It's really not right to not get both teas at the same time. Now, this is the moment in time where I have an opportunity to step up and be like, ma'am, are you aware of what's going on in this world? Are you aware of there's real problems and not real problems? And whether or not you got your tea at exactly the same time is about, you know, concern number 7,009,000,000,009.
Did you say anything to her?
Well, when she walked away and didn't say thank you, I did a slightly passive-aggressive thank you. That's what I did. But, I mean, what was I going to do? Should I have engaged her? Should I have engaged her?
No, I think I think that's a spot where, you know, unless there's trouble, you kind of like let the person behind the counter take care of
right.
it.
Right. The point here is just breathe. Don't be in such a hurry. I know people are, I'm rushed, you're rushed, everybody's rushed. But just be nice to people. Wait for your tea patiently. If you think that they forgot your tea, maybe you can mention with a nice thing, hey, can I get my tea or my coffee or my Hershey's candy bar that you get at wherever.
Oh, love Hershey's.
I know.
I love Special Dark. I love all chocolate. You know, it's, I love the female chocolate. You know, no nuts.
Whoa.
When the Bears are getting beat and I cuss in front of my kids, I feel like an idiot. Like, my kids repeats after me what I just said. I'm like, don't say it. He's, you just said it. So I try not to do that. And the worst place is when I'm driving. Road rage. I've got to control road rage.
That's where it comes out?
Yes. Bears games and when I'm driving. Now imagine when I'm driving.
Bears games now, Hamp and OB with Kaz tomorrow, 2:30 to 5. What, really now? 0-3, they're terrible. There's no even reason to be upset.
Love Kaz. Well, tomorrow they get a win. Tomorrow the Lions are missing two of their best players on defense. So the Bears will win tomorrow.
Bears fans outside the window out of nowhere. There's the four of them that are diehards that are left.
There's so many Bears fans in the world.
I think we're at a little bit of
come on.
They'll come back out.
I think you're at a point where a lot of Bears fans are already cheering for them to have an awful season because they're not going to the playoffs and they want to get the first draft pick.
Yes. But, exactly.
Yes. But I will try not to be a jerk to employees because of like the woman you saw at Argo Tea.
Right. These people are you know the service industry, you've been around it. Mm-hmm. I've
dated 20% of the service industry.
Congratulations. I sold beer at Cubs and Sox for years.
Yes, you did.
That's because I couldn't be a waiter. Being a waiter is the worst job for me. Because I couldn't just can I get some extra ranch? No, you can't. You got the proper amount of ranch right there for you. That's all the ranch you're getting. That's the way it's gonna do it. Okay. So now to trivial things with the Cubs. Jake Arrieta on the mound for his final start earlier in the week. Joe Maddon trying to be the best Joe Maddon he can be. I want you to have four innings with Miguel Montero. I want you to have an inning with Wilson Contreras, two L's.
Yeah. Imagine if he had three, how good he'd be.
Yeah. I spelled it wrong on Twitter.
So it's okay.
I felt bad. So Jake Arrieta did not like that. Miguel Montero did not like that. They said it felt like a spring training game. It was hard to focus. And here's Joe Maddon trying to maximize every opportunity because the Cubs have some freedom because they're already in the playoffs. And I feel like he's got guys complaining about trivial stuff, and it shouldn't have anything to do with anything.
Right, and 6 weeks ago, I'm not sure that Miggy Montero was on this playoff roster, but he has played his way on it. He has hit his way on it, and certainly he is Arrieta's choice behind the dish. I think when Chris Coughlin crashed into the left field wall the other night in Pittsburgh, and he went down hard, I thought, thank God that wasn't Chris Bryant.
No doubt. Now, exactly.
I like Chris Coughlin, and he's a very good player, and he will be on the playoff roster, but
he's irrelevant, generally.
Generally, John Lester throws just to David Ross. What if Ross gets hurt and he needs to throw to somebody else? You know, generally, Arrieta throws just to Miggy Montero. What if he has to throw to somebody else? Now, Ross caught his no-hitter this year, but I think what Madden's doing is really good. He's letting everybody play. He's giving guys, you know, downtime. We saw it. Phil Jackson was the master at giving the important guys, the most important guys, rest prior to the playoff run.
Right, and he'd also throw in a random, like Scott Williams would be out there when you wouldn't think he would
yeah.
be. Or he'd start game six against the Blazers in the fourth quarter, down 15, and you'd have Stacey King, B.J. Armstrong, Bobby Hanson, the all-Iowa backcourt. You know, Scottie Pippen and say like a Cliff Levingston out there.
And they came back and won that game.
Yeah, down 15. I don't remember it like it was yesterday, but maybe like 2 days ago. They were down, I want to say 93-78 going to the fourth.
They came storming back.
Greatest sporting moment of my life.
Really?
Yes. Hands down, not even close. As events that I was fortunate enough to be at. But here, keeping it minorly on track here, can we hear from Jake Arrieta, Cub fans who may have missed this earlier in the week, his disappointment with his manager?
The feeling of the game just from the first pitch just wasn't there. Switching catchers just felt like we were trying to do a little too much and instead of win a ball game. But I didn't throw well. No way around it.
So, I mean, he does take himself on at the end, say, I didn't throw well, no way around it. But he's putting out disappointment to the media. It's nice to hear from you, Jake Arrieta, but come on, Jake Arrieta, we don't need that right now.
Well, what I will remember from Wednesday night is right after that he said, whoever faces me is, you know, going to be in trouble.
Said that too.
Yeah, I mean, he is locked and loaded. He would be their most intense pitcher, if not their most intense player.
And best nude pitcher, too.
Yes. And best nude pitcher. You know, I have a friend that says that's what threw Arrieta off this year.
Are you serious?
Yes, was posing in the nude issue for ESPN the magazine.
The body issue.
The body issue.
When did the...
You can't call it the nude issue?
Well, I'm just calling it what it is.
It is
sure,
the body. You're factually correct.
We could call it the nude issue, and I don't know if this is legal to say on the radio, but I'm going to say it anyway. When did can I say that? What can I say?
I don't know what you're
When did
say.
The entire bottom being shown become okay? Like, we've got, I mean, we don't
cable
just have...
Cable television?
Well, yeah, okay, but in a magazine? Like, we don't have a cheek or both cheeks. We got the whole kit and caboodle here, which is, you know... I'm making Dan Long uncomfortable, but like maybe that's the reason because he was fully out there. I mean, all for everything to see.
I
didn't know that was legal.
You know,
in an ESPN the body issue, the nude magazine.
I don't want to appear sexist, but that really should only be legal for women. Women have women have much more beautiful bodies
I agree.
Than men.
Yes, they do.
Men should be hidden. Women should be.
Except for Arrieta. I mean, Arrieta's got a nice, he comes strong.
He's a workout freak.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't.
At TCU, they told him, stop working out.
Well, he's doing a
Have they ever, anybody ever tell you that?
No, they haven't. I think he's doing a Pilates right now, followed by a yoga, followed by a Pilates.
Is it hot yoga?
You know, the heat should actually come from within, Harry. That's this whole hot yoga phase.
That's deep.
Yeah, well.
That's deep. You know, I appreciate the competitor in Arrieta. You know what frustrates me like hell is after a team loses a close game and they go over and they, like, you know, they're kidding around. Like, it happens in football the most, I think, where a team loses a game in the final seconds and they go over and they're kidding around with the other team. And they're just, like, laughing. Like, how are you laughing? Be upset. Be ticked off.
See, that one I don't mind as much because you don't know necessarily what's going on. And on the insides, maybe people are laughing, you know, outwardly, but they feel the pain going on underneath, right?
Right. But I mean, for years of having a bad team, now we have a team. Not only are they great, but they care so much about it. But Joe Maddon's the leader. Joe Maddon knows what's going
yes.
on.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
There's nobody went up to Noah on the arc and said, what are you doing? You got the giraffes next to the rabbit.
And I think that's a fair comparison, Matta and Noah's Ark. There's no doubt.
No doubt.
I mean, come on.
Both great with animals.
I have a theory on why Arrieta might be angry that's not being expressed.
Hmm.
We're going to do that coming right back here.
That is the definition of a tease.
Like that tease?
Mm-hmm.
I've done this once before. Never effectively, but I've done it before. All right, 720 WGN. So here's my theory, Harry Tynowitz. My name's Mark Harmon. This is 720 WGN, the beat with you till 7 o'clock. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Last year, Jake Arrieta threw 229 innings.
A beast.
A beast. 90 more than he had ever before in his career.
Ever.
Right. He got to the playoffs. He pitched great in the wild card game, although a lot of balls were hit right at guys, if you remember.
Oh, geez. He pitched awesome in the wild card game.
All I'm saying is he wasn't... There were signs in that wild...
Did you want a perfect game?
Yes, I did. I was nervous. But there were signs in that wild card game that he wasn't quite... It was starting to trickle down. And then against the Cardinals... There was a little further signs, but we got through the Cardinals.
Yeah, and so far you're talking about two playoff games the Cubs won.
Right, but now I'm getting to the Mets. It didn't go well, and he was on fumes, and he admitted that he was on fumes. So I'm just wondering, probably not necessarily something there, but I'm wondering if deep down in him a little bit with Madden is that he feels he was pushed too hard last year.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think he wanted it. He pitched. How do you not give him the ball every 5 days? How do you not leave him in the way he was pitching last year? He was the best pitcher in baseball. You know, 2005, the second half of 2005 to the first half of 2006, Jose Contreras was the best pitcher in baseball. I know that, Cubs fans are like, what are you talking about that for? Well, Jose Contreras was great, and they gave him the ball and kept him in there as much as they could. You know, Jake Arrieta... You know, after the fact, it's always easy to be the guy after the fact saying, how could they pitch so much? But how do you not have him in there when he's that great? And, you know, John Lester's talking about he didn't pitch enough, until this year. And the National League versus the American League pitchers don't have to worry about getting pinch hit for. They get to throw longer and stuff like that. I don't think Arrieta has any – I think every guy in that clubhouse – is just adores Joe Madden and realizes what they have. But I love the competitor in him that comes out after the game and says, that's my catcher. Don't take him out. That's my personal valet. Don't take him out. Don't do that with me.
I tend to agree with you, and I am just putting it out there just as it's not my strongest belief ever that he's sitting there holding this, but I do wonder just a little bit if he... he's not quite as... He hasn't been as sharp this year, so I think, people sometimes they play the game. 773, by the way, agreeing with me on the text line. I love when people agree with me. Dead on, Carm. Thank you. That feels good.
Arrieta's worst performance of the year was his last outing.
Yep. By far.
And, you know,
10 hits, 7 runs.
Twitter, we got a lot of people on Twitter. Big fan of Twitter. But a lot of people on Twitter that just, what have you done for me lately? Arrieta's bad. How great is it that you're going to be able to go John Lester game one, the professor, Kyle Hendricks game two, and have Arrieta as your third starter?
It's incredible.
Are you kidding me?
It's incredible.
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding
me? On the third day, God said, let there be Jake.
You also have two MVP candidates who are both in their early to mid-20s.
Yeah.
269 texting, what is the Cubs record versus the Mets, the Giants, and the Cardinals? Off the top of my head, they're 2-5 against the Mets, 10-9 against the Cardinals, and 4-3 against the Giants.
Right. They had a bad series in New York. They had their worst. Lester had the worst outing of his career against the Mets at what we call Citi Field. Still want to call it Shea.
It's right next to the U.S. Open, which is the greatest sporting venue there is. Never go to Citi Field. Always go to the U.S. Open, even if there's not tennis.
See, now I would say that Churchill Downs is way, way, way back as a sporting venue, but the Kentucky Derby is like the greatest event in the world. So I don't have it as the venue, but I have it as the greatest sporting event next to a Cubs World Series.
Right. Well, okay, I mixed up my venues and events. Greatest venue right now, Wrigley Field.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. Biased extremely, but that's the answer I would give. And then greatest event, The U.S. Open. You got to do it.
U.S. Open.
It's so good.
Hey, Mark.
It's so good. The Kentucky, don't do it. Don't do it, Harry.
The Kentucky Derby, the Indianapolis 500, you know, the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. These are individual, you know, events. U.S. Open is a tournament that goes on for 2 weeks.
It's a two-week event.
The only good part of the U.S. Open is when they show George Costanza eating the sundae that gets all over him.
That's a good Seinfeld reference right there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got one more Arrieta before we move on from Jake.
Yeah, I hope it's positive.
It's some of it's positive. I've done the breakdown of why Arrieta struggled in his last start.
Okay,
I've watched every pitch in great detail. According to Brooks Baseball, actually, I haven't done this. Arrieta's changeup against the Pirates was hitless. He used it 9 times out of 101 pitches. I know you want to know this, Harry. This is the level that I go to when I don't do this unless it's 2 days before the playoffs, 1.5 games left. On his changeup, he used it 9 times out of 101, all right? Which tops his previous high, by the way. That's the most he's used his changeup. It was a very effective pitch for him. What happened with his changeup? He used the pitch 9 times out of 101, topping his previous high, and it was extremely effective. His curveball and slider were put in play 6 times, 5 times for hits. No more curveballs and sliders, Jake Arrieta.
Jake Arrieta is going to be spectacular. What an advantage the Cubs have. And I've got the great Eddie O. Eddie Olczyk, tell him HT, Kentucky Derby, greatest sporting event.
Well, Eddie's extremely biased, as I am too.
Extremely talented.
That too.
Yeah.
Edzo's my hero. He's my hockey hero.
He's a hockey Hall of Fame guy who's telling you not the Stanley Cup Finals. It's got to be accurate if Eddie Olczyk says it.
This is just rough. I you know, Harry comes in, we got Tom Dreesen calling in, Edzo's texting. I haven't gotten a text from Edzo in 3 years. I love you, Edzo.
Well, he'll text you. By the way,
I gotta bring pie over to Edzo's house.
Speaking of Pat and Eddie, it's just 56 minutes past 3:33.
There you go. Which reminds me, we should try to get the news moderately on time. So quick timeout. We're gonna, for all you diehards, people who cannot even imagine what life would be like if the Cubs don't win the World Series, we got a hypothetical for you next that incorporates the election. 720 WGN. WGN, 437. Got to enjoy a little rainy Saturday, Harry. Wake up. Take an extra couple minutes under the covers. Get yourself going.
It's good sleeping weather.
It is. Good to have you with us here. A lot of people texting and enjoying Harry Tynowitz today. So
that's what makes me feel good.
There you go.
To be with you, Mark, to be with you makes me feel great. And to be at Radio 720 WGN, it's a blast being back in the studio where they shaved all the hair off my back.
That did happen on the David Kaplan Show. I was here, had nothing to do with it, but I did enjoy the show.
Mm-hmm.
You were a great sport that night. So, all right, we have this election thing going on right now. There's this guy, Donald Trump, and then there's Hillary Clinton. And people have large reactions to both. I've been getting, when I'm doing non-sports shows on the station, I've been getting texts like, "You're biased," which of course I am, as are we all.
Mm-hmm.
So, but here's a simple question for you, and this is for the passionate people on either side of the aisle. Very simple question. You're a Cub fan in this scenario. Ideally, a diehard.
That's redundant. Diehard Cubs fan, redundant.
You think so, really?
Yes.
Okay. I think we're getting more people just jumping on the bandwagon. But okay, fine. So here it is. You are going to the polls and you are voting for Hillary. In my scenario, Donald Trump is going to be in the White House and the Cubs are going to win the World Series. Or vice versa, for the Trump fan out there who's going and can't wait to vote for Donald, Hillary is going to be in the White House, but the Cubs will win the World Series. You have to lose the election for the Cubs to win it all. Are you willing to make that trade? 312-981-7200. Dan Long, producer extraordinaire, are you willing to make that trade?
This is a pretty...
I saw you perk up in there, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know. You're putting me on the spot. This needs to be...
You want to think about it?
Considered a little bit, yeah.
You don't have to say who you're cheering for. All you have to say is, would you let the other candidate win, right? That's the scenario here,
You know, the system of checks and balances exists in this country for a reason. I'm going to say I'm going to go Cubs World Series, tops everything.
Dan Long, ladies and gentlemen. That's a baseball diehard right there. Dan Long is a huge company.
Can I just say, of course he's right. Of course he's right. I mean, with the exception of like Gary Johnson, you could put anybody in there, right? That's the Libertarian candidate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't ask him about world leaders.
Now, Trump gets in there. He's button away from killing everybody. Hillary gets in there. She's been, you know, caught lying, but... short of some horrible people in the world, I would take just about anybody in that Oval Office to get the Cubs their World Series title. First of what we hope are several.
Well, let's see how desperate we are. 312-981-7200. I got to tell you, Harry, I don't want to be the one guy on the dissension team here, but I think I would give up this election and just bet on the Cubs getting it done in 2017. And just live that, and just I'd have to punt if that was the scenario.
You give up the World Series championship this year,
yes,
to have your candidate become president.
That's right. That's correct. I would.
You love the Cubs.
I do.
What is wrong with you?
Well, because I
were you dropped on your head?
I don't think I was. I actually think I'm looking for the. I think that there are things more important than baseball. I don't want to be the, you know, the wet blanket
look,
on the look, show right
look,
now.
Look, there's. I mean, like. You know, people are going to say, like, if the Cubs win the World Series, it'd be the greatest day of my life. Well, of course, the greatest day of your life is the day your kids are born, right? The day you get married. That's the greatest day of your life. But that being said...
We can have it... I like putting it under the umbrella, the greatest sports day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be...
Well, it's fine.
Would you say this would be the greatest sports day of your life if the Cubs win it all?
Yes, because I've seen the Bears win the Super Bowl. I've seen the Hawks win the Stanley Cup championship, and I've seen the Bulls win the NBA Finals.
So, but you think it would top all that?
And I have collected on a trifecta. Yes, I think I've seen the White Sox. I was lucky enough to be on the field at Minute Maid when the Sox, what?
You didn't care. Come on.
I cared so much.
Did you really?
Mark, I love the White Sox.
No, you don't.
I do. I love the Cubs more.
Okay.
But I love the White. I'm bisexual.
Okay. Okay, you're a better man than I am on that one.
My dad, who's 90, and I love him so much, my dad watches every Sox game. I call him every day, every night.
Oh, that's nice.
And I know when he's up and when he's not up, and he's up to watch. He has dinner and he watches the White Sox. He loves the White Sox. I grew up, Dad would take me to Sox games, Mom would take me to Cubs games, and we were allowed to go on our own to the Cubs games because they were on the L in the daytime.
Yep.
So I love, and it never mattered when they played each other. It never mattered when the Cubs played the Sox.
When I was growing up, 1983, I was 10 years old, and they were playing exhibition games.
Mm-hmm.
That game mattered. As a 10-year-old in school, I'm telling you, we were having fistfights at school over it. It mattered.
I know, but I'm saying it didn't matter in the standings.
It didn't, but it mattered here.
But if I were a little kid and the Cubs and Sox were playing four games for real, maybe I wouldn't cheer for both teams. But that was a big deal to me to see not only to see the White Sox win the World Series, but they swept it. And the pitching was awesome. And you might see that type of starting rotation with the Cubs this year.
312-981-7200. Let's just take the pulse of the people here. What's more important, the World Series or the election?
Great topic, by the way.
Love this topic. I don't know who came up with this.
You did. You're a genius. My topic.
Just fishing
idea.
For compliments. Yes. That's what I do. You're my guy. It's great to be here with you. Have I said that a couple times today? Hey, Charlie. What are you picking, Charlie? Welcome to WGN.
Hey, listen. I'm 63 years old, and I have gone through the heartbreaks of 69, 84, 89, 04, and 08. And as much as I'd like to see Trump get elected, it pales in comparison to having the Cubs win the World Series. I think this town would totally explode if the Cubs win the World Series, or even maybe if they just get into the World Series, that would be fantastic.
Are you giving up Trump for just getting to the World Series then too, Charlie?
Yeah, I would give him up for that.
Well, yes, and of course it was 03, not 04, but Charlie, I'm with you. I'm so with you. I mean, the Cubs are set up to be great for a while now. We're looking at a bulk
which
of,
speaks to my side of the argument, great for a while. All you're doing is giving up this year.
No, but the Bears were the same deal. When the Bears won the Super Bowl, I thought I was getting, you know, multiple Super Bowls. It was not a multiple situation. It was one. It was one and done.
I think you just channeled your inner Larry David right there. That was enjoyable. Thank you for the call, Charlie, and being honest about your political leanings. I enjoy that. Let's see. Daryl. What's up, Daryl? Welcome to WGN.
Hi, guys. Great topic, although I wouldn't call Mark a genius about it.
That's not nice, Daryl, but accurate.
It's a genius idea. I'm not calling him a genius. I'm saying the idea is genius.
Idea, yes, yes. I would not give up my candidate for the World Series this year because there's going to be a World Series next year for the Cubs.
No.
And
no.
There won't be an election next year.
No. Carpe diem. Carpe diem, my man. Come on, Daryl.
Daryl,
do you have a brother named Daryl?
Yes, I do.
Awesome.
And both of us know Mark. But
Daryl and Daryl know Mark? I'm Mark. I don't recognize Daryl on the phone right now. I don't even know if I know a Daryl. Apparently I do.
How about the head coach of the Los Angeles Kings, former Blackhawk?
Daryl Sutter?
Yes, girl number 27.
I don't know Daryl Sutter. Hey Daryl, do you follow me on Twitter?
No, I don't.
Okay, are you on Twitter, Daryl?
Yes.
Okay, well, please follow me and let's reconnect about this conversation.
Come on now.
At the Carm. You're my guy. Let's take our relationship to the next level.
All right, if you say so.
Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you for the phone call. We appreciate you chiming in.
Guy doesn't want to go to the next level with
but
me.
But his theory.
I laid out the red carpet there.
Well, I mean, but it's interesting because there's, you know, because I mean, you brought this up earlier, and then Daryl just brought it up again. I don't think "rebrought" is a word, but you know, your theory is because they're going to win it next year. They're so great, they're going to win it next year. I just have to wait a year. No, this opportunity is here now. Do not take it for granted. The Cubs look great. They look like they'll be the best team in baseball for, you know, the next few years, going back to the playoffs every year. But now, seize the day.
312-981-7200. Will you give up the election for the Cubs to win the World Series, or would you punt the Cubs to get your candidate in there?
You did say give up the election.
Yes?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, making sure.
I
heard you funny for
a
second.
Okay. There's no R in there.
Okay.
Thank you. 720 WGN. What message did you want to give, Harry?
Traffic is awful on the inbound Ike.
Okay. Stay off the inbound Ike.
Yes.
Or, you know, you can just be in traffic and just love listening to the show. Yeah, I know. Well, you put on Twitter today that, I'm talking about Twitter a lot today, now I'm getting uncomfortable, but you put on Twitter, hey, join us for the full 4 hours. I said, just give us 5 minutes. Just give us a nice solid five.
Well, I just said I'm on WGN Radio with At The Carm. Let's get that handle out there
Thank you, buddy. Can
increase that listener. 7,200 followers is great, by the way.
7,108, and let's see, I'm just refreshing. Have I picked up? I'm up to 109. We are at 109. We've picked up one.
Was it Eddie Olczyk?
I don't know if Edzo follows me. Let's find that out. Everybody wants to know about that. I'll put that off for perhaps.
But in the meantime,
not during the show.
Meantime, you've created a genius topic here.
Well, it's been fun to be on the station around the election, and you know, people are super angry. People are very engaged about it. So you got to bring it into a sports realm. But so I think at this point, we sort of have to just marvel in the ridiculousness that this country has created. Sad, but it's also like, hey, we just love being entertained, and look at what we've done. It can never be duplicated, hopefully.
And that's a much, much better way to look at it. Instead of how could these candidates be the choices for these political parties, look at it like, is this not the most entertaining presidential race ever?
I mean, it's incredible what we've done. Don't worry about the fact that it might, you know, come back to bite us in the butt. But hey, we've really entertained ourselves for the last couple of months. How about that? Clarence, The topic, if you're just joining us, will you give up a Cubs World Series to get your candidate, whoever it is, Donald or Hillary, in the White House? Clarence, Cubs or your candidate? What's up, Clarence?
I would have to go with my candidate. I'm so sorry, and I am a huge Cubs fan, but I cannot tank this country with Donald Trump. I mean, my God,
Clarence.
The guy's demographic is uneducated people. And when they poll, I mean, I'm sorry, I love the Cubs. I love the Cubs. I love Joe Madden. Uncle Joe is awesome. I'm under an overpass, so I don't know if that you can hear me. But
we're with you, Clarence.
He's really taking the Cubs. You know, I love the guy. He's positive. He's awesome.
See,
everything that comes out of his mouth is good, but everything that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth is horrible. And I can't imagine where this country would be after 4 years of that. I don't think he'd make 4 years.
Clarence. Clarence, I want your mind's eye to focus on this picture.
Clarence, you're doing the right thing.
Chris Bryant.
I know I am.
Chris Bryant jumping into the arms of Anthony Rizzo.
Ooh.
That is what we see.
I would absolutely love it. I would love it. I mean, you're talking to a guy that the last time the Cubs were in postseason, I was down there on Waveland. I had no ticket because unless you're really wealthy, you don't get to go to those games, but you know, the real fans are out in the street. And I drove down there. I live out in Yorkville, for crying out loud. I'm down there on the street, waiting for a ball or something to fly over the ball.
I heard
Cubs.
Clarence, there aren't real fans inside Wrigley Field?
When you get into postseason play, the price of the tickets
He's right.
is just...
He's
insane.
Right.
And what gets me is everybody that doesn't go when the Cubs are losing, they all show up when the Cubs are winning. I think we should get our tickets at normal price, and those people should pay a little more.
Wait, hold on.
It happened with the Blackhawks.
But I'm about the little guy. I was really a Bernie Sanders guy, you know, and still am. But, I got to go with Hillary right now because that's what has to be done. I don't like her necessarily, but I can't have Trump in there.
Clarence,
you won't have a country left.
Clarence, I appreciate your passion and the fact that you're for the little guy and you want good things for the world, Clarence. I hear you.
I absolutely do. I love Uncle Joe. I hope he's listening. I'd give him a big wet one right on his feet right now. But I'm so sorry that this question was posed, and I got to be strikingly honest.
You know what?
And I've seen Joe at concerts and stuff, and gosh, you know. I almost think he might understand under these circumstances.
He might.
Maybe not.
He might. That'd be an interesting question.
I mean, baseball is an awesome sport, and the Cubs are an awesome team. I mean, they are really kicking some butt this year, and I'm looking forward to the postseason, but I would have to let that go if I had that choice.
Thank you, Clarence. I got to cut you because we're up against news here.
Great call, Clarence. You're an angel.
Yeah, and... Joe Madden's not listening right now. The Cubs are down 4-3 in the bottom of the fifth, or 3-4. Do we need a timeout here, Dan? I'm so focused on being on time these days, Harry. Are you impressed? Look at the organization that I'm bringing to the forum.
You've grown.
Thank you.
You've grown.
I owe at least some of my growth to you.
No.
We've had some great breakfast.
No.
You didn't teach me how to properly fold the German pancake.
Oh, you got to fold the German pancake.
Yeah, well, I never did before I met you.
You cannot cut the German pancake at Walker Brothers Original House of Pancakes
of course
until you have rolled it up like a doobie.
Yeah, right. I always just went pie cutting, and you told me to go doobie look for the German, and my life has been forever changed.
It's not called the Original House of Pizza. It's called Original House of Pancakes. Roll and cut.
312-981-7200, 720-WGN.
The Wildcats of Northwestern, Evanston, Illinois.
It's time for Wildcat Insider.
On the home of Chicago's Big Ten team, 720-WGN.
5 o'clock hour. Wildcat Insider, quite a day for those Northwestern Wildcats. 38-31. They win on the road at Iowa in a back-and-forth crazy game. The good doctor, Dr. Jim Phillips, thank you, the outstanding athletic director of Northwestern University, joining myself, Mark Harmon, and Harry Tynowitz in studio. Dr. Jim, that was a big one today.
It was, guys. It's awesome to be on with you. Just cruising down 88 here, trying to get back home. But I'm really proud of the guys. And, you know, Mark, we've talked over the last 4 weeks or so. We've had a better team than we've played. It just has been the case. And today we took a step in a really positive direction. Not a lot of people go to Iowa City and win, and it was a back-and-forth game. So I'm really proud of the guys. We got a lead early, 17-7. Then we were down 24-17. So the resiliency to come back in a pretty hostile environment and get away with the victory is terrific.
A lot of Cat fans I'm seeing on Twitter, Jim, saying, where did the offense come from all of a sudden? What would you say to those Cat fans?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's a fair criticism, Mark. It really is. We just have not been able to move the football this year. And if you looked at the first four games, our defense has really played at a pretty high level. But offensively, we've stalled. We've stalled in the red zone. We've turned it over too many times. I mean, last week we had two interceptions at critical junctures. So I think it's just a matter of a maturation process of an offensive unit that's had some changes. We've had some injuries. We've lost some offensive linemen that we thought going into the season were going to play for us. So, again, really proud of the effort. And Justin Jackson did a great job. Austin Carr had three touchdown passes. Clayton Thorson did a nice job of distributing the football. And we blocked better. And it always comes to the line play. And today our line, offensive line, did a really nice job.
And don't forget Flynn Nagel. That was an awesome punt return. One move away from taking it to the house. Mazel tov, Jim, on just a great, great win. Boy, Saturday night, Coach Fitz was all ticked off. He said, these guys better get hydrated right now. What's it like being around Coach Fitz after you lose at home like that, heading into this really daunting task to go in there and beat Iowa on their home field?
Yeah, Harry, two good points. First of all, Flynn Nagel's a great kid, a local product. But I'm all over him about getting tackled by the punter in the end zone. So mazel tov to Flynn there for sure. But I kind of like Fitz with I guess it's the Ricky Bobbitt, right?
Yeah.
Compares the different things, but for Fitz, it's the angry Fitz, I call him. And when he gets angry, I think it plays well because he's a really thoughtful coach. The guys love him. And he's a really encouraging guy. He motivates through positive encouragement. But once in a while, he grinds them up like he did this week, and he was really upset after the game against Nebraska because he just felt like it should have been a different outcome. We should have played differently. And I think that, Harry, to your point, I think it gave us an edge. And since last Saturday night, the team's been was really focused in coming out here and getting back on the winning track.
What you're talking about there, Dr. Jim, I like the range because, you know, he can be the caring Fitz, but he can also be angry Fitz. And I know that, like, a Dr. Jim Phillips, he gets himself out of bed at 4 in the morning and go for the 5-mile run and then do his day and be on it. But some of us, we need a little extra accountability in our lives. I might be personally talking about myself here. So you need, like, sometimes, especially a college kid who might need somebody to get in their face every now and then, and Fitz can do it.
Well, I think that's the beautiful element of coaching at any level, elementary, high school, college, professional. It's understanding young people, understanding what motivates them, understanding what things you need to do to motivate them, not only prepare them to play, but really to motivate them. And I think the world of him. I think he continues to get better. He's still a young guy. And I give him a lot of credit for putting our guys in wonderful position today to come out and play better, execute better, and then ultimately walk away with a great victory.
You know, I was lucky enough to be at your home opener. I have a friend, Maz, who does a great tailgate, and I can't believe that same team from that game against Western Michigan is the team that I saw upsetting all the Iowa fans. You're an athletic director. What did you think about all the Hawkeye fans going nuts and throwing water bottles on the field?
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for Iowa and their program. I just think it's the heat of the moment, and they're really good fans. They're knowledgeable, but you get caught up in the moment. And, you know, I'll tell you, Harry, the first two games were tough. It was tough. But when you pointed out about the Western Michigan game, they're a really good football team, and I got to give an awful lot of credit because they beat us. They went down to Champaign and thumped the Illini, and, you know, I don't want to take anything away from those guys. They deserve to win, and again, that's the beauty, though, of college football, that you get another chance to prove yourself each and every week. So I think we've come a long way since that opener in the last 4 weeks. And we have an off week coming up, which is really good because we're banged up a little bit. And then we continue on this gauntlet. We have to go to Michigan State, Indiana home. Then we have at Ohio State and then Wisconsin. So we knew this was going to be a tough stretch starting at Iowa, then going to Michigan State and Indiana home, but then at Ohio State and Wisconsin. So one game at a time, and we started the month of October and off on the right foot.
One game at a time, indeed, and also 1 year at a time, as the news coming out earlier this week, Dr. Jim, that next year the basketball team is going to be playing at Allstate Arena, formerly the Rosemont Horizon, as Welsh Ryan Arena gets renovated. As a season ticket holder, Jim, this is I was wondering where you guys were going to go, and you ended up at Allstate. So tell us about what went into that decision. A historic building for sure.
It is, and we're really happy with the relationship that we have with Pat Nagel and the people at Allstate. We looked all over. We looked at the United Center. We looked at the Sears Center and the Western Suburbs. That made the most sense. DePaul's going to be moving out into their facility, so we'll be the college basketball tenant. We can brand the arena for a year, with Northwestern items, Chicago's Big Ten team and all the rest of it. We talked with Michael Reinsdorf and the folks at the United Center. That was another great option. But when you have the Bulls, you have the Blackhawks, you have the circus, and you have concerts, you're going to end up being at the bottom of that as far as priority. And so, if you want to play on a Tuesday afternoon at 3:30, the United Center is available. But when you want to play on a Saturday night, it's just not, because their regular tenants are there. They have great teams that are there with the Bulls and Blackhawks, who I love. But then you have to factor in the concert and the circus, and it's a tough venue to get into. So going to Allstate Arena was perfect. It's easy. I think easier going to be for our fans to get to. They've hosted college basketball before, and we'll look forward to being with them for the 17-18 basketball season.
Pat Nagel, who celebrated her birthday this week, is such a great guy, and you're going to love being in the Allstate Arena, Jim. They've exercised their demons, so it's time to get wild.
Mark
didn't even catch that. It went right over Mark's head. He didn't even understand what you just said.
It did. I got it now, so it just does take a little bit of time. But I just had a vision of, you have so many fans that go to Northwestern games from the North Burbs. Now you have an opportunity, and hopefully you guys have a huge year this year, getting the tournament, the whole thing. You have an opportunity to build your brand here, Dr. Jim.
We do. And that's the beauty of it. I think it'll be a seamless transition. Really excited about the season coming up, and then excited about putting a shovel in the ground at Welsh Ryan Arena, the first time we can in March, and then 18 months kind of quarantine that area and open it up with a $110 million upgrade for that 18-19 season. So it'll be great, and I agree with you, Harry. I mean, Pat is a wonderful guy, and it will be a great partner for us.
Yeah, let me translate what Mark was saying there. First of all, I've seen the photos of what the new basketball arena is going to look like. It looks spectacular. Mark's wondering, because he is going to have a much longer drive, is he on the hook for the season ticket money for the entire year?
I didn't say
Absolutely.
This, Dr. Jim.
We may charge him double, Harry.
Love it. I love it. What a good, your soccer field is awesome.
Yeah.
It's spectacular. It's awesome. Have you ever thought about putting up a facility there and just that would be like the prime location. I would think you could charge a zillion dollars a condo there if you ever decided to do that.
So listen, we just opened Chap and Ethel Hutchinson Field, which is our football practice field, and then Lanny and Sharon Martin Stadium, which is what you're describing, the soccer stadium, and across maybe 100 feet from that area, we're going to have a $265 million state-of-the-art facility for our student athletes. It's the Ryan Fieldhouse, Wilson Field, and then the Walter Athletic Center. And I don't know if you guys know much about Mark and Kim Walter, but they're Chicago folks, went to Northwestern. They also own the Dodgers, and they gave us an incredible gift for us to build this facility, which, again, will house our student-athletes, sports medicine, strength conditioning, academic services. And so with their generosity, you know, you're describing some of those pictures you're seeing probably online, Harry, and I'm really excited about what that's going to look like, because that's going to open up in about 14 months. So we have, all told, about $400 million worth of facility work going on right now in Northwestern Athletics, and it's part of our commitment to really taking that next step with our athletic teams.
Dr. Jim, you're the best. We're going to have the franchise Anthony Walker Jr. on next, who had himself a day today. What's the numbers? 10 tackles, 5 solo, helping lead the way to a big-time Cats victory. Sleep well tonight, Dr. Jim. Congrats.
You got it, guys. And you got to say hi to Anthony for me, because young James Phillips, the second grader, has got an Anthony Walker franchise lunchbox that he carries to St. Francis School every morning. He doesn't care about his backpack. He just wants to make sure he's got the lunchbox for lunch. So you give Anthony some props for that.
Oh, man. I want an Anthony Walker lunchbox. That sounds spectacular. That's a kid who brings his lunch pail to school every day.
That's good parenting.
Absolutely. You got it.
All right.
Be well. Go Cats, guys.
Thanks, Dr. Jim. Dr. Jim Phillips, your Northwestern Athletic Director with us here on 720 WGN.
In a great mood, and why wouldn't he be? Northwestern goes into an impossible place to get a victory, and they get a victory, and I enjoyed. I listened to a lot of the game on the radio. I was coming back this morning, and then I was coming down here this afternoon. Dave Ennett, Ted Albrecht, and, of course, the guy goes Bears on Sunday, but he has time for Northwestern on Saturday.
Yeah, Adam Hogue doing a great job on the sideline.
Doing a spectacular job. So, big day for Wildcat football.
Yeah, and Dave's the best. Hands down, love him. Hearing him on a Saturday afternoon with a Wildcat football, it just everything just feels right in the world. All right, hey, the franchise, Anthony Walker Jr. up next, 720 WGN.
Beathard in the gun, gets the snap. Beathard looking. Beathard now scrambling. Throws on the run. Intercepted by the Wildcats. Intercepted by Trey Williams. He cut in front of the intended receiver just past the first down marker. And the Wildcats are going to put this one away with 58 seconds remaining.
720 WGN, yeah, baby, 38-31, Cats, a winner over my alma mater, the University of Iowa. It's okay. I grew up around Northwestern. Root for the Cats over the alma mater. A lot of people at my alma mater don't like that, Harry. How do you feel about that? Am I okay?
Yeah, you're fine with that. Okay. I mean, you're a Wildcat fan. You're a season ticket holder for basketball, and you cheer for them for football. It's only natural you'd want your school that you attended to do well, but they didn't today.
I wonder if the franchise Anthony Walker Jr. has my back on that. You feeling me on that, Anthony Walker Jr.?
I'm feeling you on that. I love it. I love it, my man.
I talked to Anthony for pregame a couple weeks ago. And you told me, Anthony, that you have this weird thing that in the middle of the night you set the alarm so you could wake up and know that you have 3 more hours to sleep. So what time did you set the alarm tonight before game day, or do you do that before game day?
I do it before game day, and I set it today at 3 o'clock because we had a 6 o'clock wake-up call, so I set it for 3 a.m.
So 3 a.m. in his room, Harry. He's setting off the alarm. Who was in your room with you tonight?
Nate Hall. He hates it.
Surprise, with him in your room, I'm surprised you got to bed before 3 a.m.
Oh!
You know, before Flynn Nagel brings that punt back to set up the offense on the 5-yard line first and goal, you guys took down the Hawkeyes and strong offense. How good does it feel for the first series to come out on their field in front of their fans and shut them down 3-and-out?
Oh, definitely. Definitely a great feeling. We had to come out and start fast, and I think we did that on the first drive, taking it as a personal challenge to stop the run. And we were able to get off the field on third down, which was great. So, that was a great start to the game for the defense.
Franchise Anthony Walker Jr. with us here, 720 WGN. So, I mean, this has been a rough start to the season. You guys were 1-3 coming into today, and I was around you guys a little bit this week. I thought I felt a little downness to the team, but obviously that changed coming out today. How'd you guys get yourself ready to go today, I guess is the question.
I think for the most part, you know, we tried to stop doing a lot of talking. I think we did that for the first couple of weeks. And, you know, like Coach Fitz said, it's time to put away all the talking and just go out and do it. So, we didn't really say much this week, you know, kept everything quiet. And, you know, we said when we get out there, we got to go out and play football, play for 60 minutes. And, you know, going out, I mean, it was a hostile environment, going against a great opponent. I think that was enough motivation that we needed. So definitely, you know, definitely a great team win for us. But, you know, it doesn't stop here.
How good does it feel, Anthony, to get 6 sacks?
Oh, man, it was dominant for our defense. Fabio Denable had 4 of them. And Joseph Jones, who's sitting right next to me right now, had a big one to start off the game. So, you know, just to get that pressure on the quarterback, you know, CJ's a great quarterback, but just to get some pressure on him and, you know, make his life a lot harder, you know, that's our game plan. So, I mean, being able to get some pressure on him, you know, takes pressure off the DBs a little bit, and, you know, we were able to get there. So, you know, anytime you're able to affect the quarterback, it's always a good thing.
You didn't have a bad day yourself, 10 tackles, 5 solo. Let's get some self-grading going on here. How do you think you played today, Anthony?
I think I played all right. I think I still have a long way to go, but for the most part, I think all of our run fits were well, and able to get on a few tackles today. That was pretty good, and you know, still have a long way to go. Just watched the film, wasn't perfect at all by a long stretch, but you know, just to be able to get a win in Iowa City is always good.
So hold on a second. You get out of the game, you shower up, you get on the bus. Somebody hands you a CD, and you're just or whatever. How does it work? And you're sitting there watching yourself already.
Yeah, we we have a great video staff, and they already access there. You know, who all wants the game right after the game, and you know, there's nothing else to do on the 4-hour bus trip back, so just go ahead and, you know, see how you did and see how the team played and what can we fix, and you know, just little things like that. I mean, put this win away, get ready for the next opponent.
But I mean, you guys just won such a big game. Don't they let you like chill out and watch Deadpool first and then watch the game film?
You can do whatever you want. I mean, I don't think it's not by force. You know, everybody has their own, you know, regimen after the game. But yeah, I always get the film in early, correct the mistakes fast, and so we can get.
You don't get called the franchise by watching. What did you throw out of there? Deadpool.
Deadpool.
I mean, it's the franchise. We just lost the franchise. The franchise cell phone went out somewhere in between Iowa City and Evanston. That's okay. Love Anthony Walker Jr. and that guy's going to play on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, and he had a big game today. And then, you know, 6 sacks it was terrific to see where they were week one, where they were week two, and to see the transformations. They go into Iowa and knock off the Hawkeyes in their home field. And I was listening. I did not see it, but I was listening at the point when Dave Ennett and Ted Albrecht were describing the water bottles, and they warned Adam Hogue. They said, go get cover.
Yeah, well, here.
The fans were ferocious. Yeah.
Walk your back with us. What was going on in the field when the fans were doing that?
I mean, it was crazy. You know, a few calls that could go either way from either team, and, you know, we were able to come out on the positive side on those for not many times, but you know, we were able to get a couple calls today, and I guess the fans are a little upset about that. And I mean, it's football. Everybody, you know, that's what the fans are for. That's great. That they're into the game like that. It was great to be a part of it, and you know, just to you know, see that environment. It's always good to see, you know, the home team get upset. But again, you know, the game wasn't over, and we had to keep fighting.
Anthony, Coach Fitz is such a good guy, and he looked so angry Saturday night after the Cornhusker game. And I heard him say that these guys better start hydrating now. What was it like this week practicing for a very motivated Coach Fitz?
Oh, definitely. You know, he's a winner. You know, he wants to win, and I mean, he's not going to make any excuses for us. So just to get back on the field and. You know, he didn't do anything crazy to us, but, you know, we had to practice harder. We knew we started in practice this week, how we prepare. And we prepare hard. I mean, that was the most, you know, this is probably the most physical and, you know, most prepared week we've had. And I think that goes back to, you know, to the man who's leading us, Coach Fitz. You know, just going all the way down to the players.
Before we let you go, we just had Jim Phillips, of course, the athletic director at Northwestern, and he said his son, second grader, will not leave the house. Doesn't worry about his homework in the backpack. Doesn't worry about, you know, his actual lunch, but he's got to take the franchise lunchbox. What's that like, Anthony, having your own lunchbox?
It's crazy. It's crazy. I love it, though. I love all the support from the fans and, you know, especially, you know, from your own athletic director who loves it more than anything. So, you know, I really appreciate Jim Phillips and, you know, definitely his son for taking it to school with him. But, I mean, it's all fun and games, and I love being a part of this team. I love being a part of this community.
Who wins in a sprint, you or Dr. Jim? Because I see Dr. Jim sprinting during the game, and, you know, the guy, the man's in shape.
Yeah, I don't know. He looks pretty good. I mean, I've seen him run down a few times like he's going to cover kickoffs, so I'm not too sure yet.
Yeah, when Jim Phillips gets up at 3 in the morning, he doesn't go back to bed, Anthony. He puts on his shorts and his shoes, and he's out running.
Yeah, he's a busy man.
Hey, the franchise, enjoy your bye week, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Congrats on the win today.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
All right. Anthony Walker Jr., class act, and a hell of a football player. Again, yes. You'll see him on Sundays in the old NFL. Wouldn't look bad in a Bears uniform.
No, he wouldn't. Can he play tomorrow?
Right.
And he's you know what? Thing about Anthony Walker, he's number one in your program and number one in your heart.
That's so beautiful. It's really tender. I hope he feels seen and cared for.
Bears.
All right, quick timeout. 720 News is next. WGN. 720 WGN. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Harmon with you till 7. 312-981-7200. The Chicago White Sox have called a press conference for 11 a.m. on Monday. 11 a.m. Monday morning. I will bet large sums of money, assuming I had that, which I don't. But if I did, I would bet a large amount of money that Robin Ventura will not be back as the White Sox manager. Harry, are you with me?
I don't know. They like Robin, and I don't know how Rick Hahn will react. It's been after starting out 23-10, it's been a very disappointing season for a White Sox team that looked great early.
I mean, that was like 3 seasons ago, but yeah.
You know, probably I would say 4/5 of the fan base would hope for a change, but you know, the Reinsdorf mantra and, you know, the Kenny Williams and, you know, Rick Hahn is the guy in the GM, but the mantra is we stay with our guys.
That's the mantra, but there was that mantra with Jerry Manuel and he finally got pushed out the door. There's that mantra, a little bit different with Ozzie Guillen, but he got, eventually, it all... The Terry Bevingtons of the world, who he's loyal to.
Terry Bevington was a different
great story. Hire.
Terry Bevington singled to the bullpen to bring in the pitcher. There was nobody warming up.
I thought he was saying fair was foul. That was a good one. They're changing the name of the park.
Yes, they are.
Guaranteed Rate Field. The problem right now is that it should be Guaranteed Rate Field at Zero Interest Park. I mean, that's what's going on over there. Rick Morrissey had that in the Sun-Times the other day. Good job, Rick Morrissey. I think he's spot on. That's what it is. It's go guaranteed rate, but really it's guaranteed rate field at Zero Interest Park. You have nothing going on.
Well, I mean, there's bright spots, you know.
Yeah, but the bright spots are you want, most White Sox fans want the bright spots to be traded.
Right. Well, look, you had a kid pitch last night, Carlos Rodon, who threw first 7 batters he faced, he struck out. That tied the American League record. And, you know, not only is he terrific, Quintana's been, you know, fantastic. I know he didn't have a great game the other night. Is tomorrow Chris Sale's last game in a White Sox uniform? And what's Chris Sale going to do to the uniform?
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. The whole week, it's like, is Chris Sale going to make his last start? Is he not going to make his last start? Just make a decision, Robin. Come on, man. Why does this have to be a mystery? I got friends going out there tonight, by the way. They're 30 minutes away from the Flash Saturday night at Guaranteed Rate Field starting November 1st. They're heading on out. I know some diehards. I'm shocked.
Good for them. Which is the hotter ticket tonight? The White Sox regular season game or the Blackhawks preseason game?
Blackhawks and the Blues. That could be an interesting calm spur of the moment game. 3-1-2.
Blackhawks and the Blues. How do you play? Oh, go ahead. Give the number.
312-981-7200. What do we have to give away, Dan?
We have a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's, the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. 40-plus Chicagoland locations, boys. So order online at loumalnati's.com.
All right, so this game is called Hockey versus Baseball off the top of my head. I love doing games impromptu. They always go well.
Uh-huh.
312-981-7200. If you think you know hockey or if you think you know baseball, you can win Lou Malnati's pizza right now on 720 WGN. I promise you the questions are going to be fairly basic.
I promise you that I am thinking of Lou Malnati's pizza right now.
What do you get on your Lou Malnati's pizza? Harry?
Oh, I go with Lou Mal's. I go a sausage, mushroom, and onions.
Mm.
Oh, go deep dish is so good.
Mm. I mean, that's my standard order right there, a nice little special.
Mm-hmm. There's one in Evanston.
There's one everywhere.
Yeah, there are.
They just popped one up right in Lincoln Square where I live. Go Lumel's. Mindy Kaplan, if you're listening, what's up?
They just opened up a Lumel Natty's in a Lumel Natty's.
Right. And there's enough business for both situations. All right, here we go. 312-981-7200, impromptu game.
Love the impromptu game.
Sometimes these things go well, sometimes they don't. Hey, Mike, welcome to WGN.
Hey, and Harry, how you doing, buddy?
Emotionally, I'm living a lie, but it feels great.
Give me your best risky business line.
Really? There's so many to choose from. Excellent idea, Joel. You can do it better than I can.
You guys friends? What's going on here? I'm confused.
What do you got for me, Carmen?
Are you picking hockey or baseball?
South side or north side?
Just a sports. We don't need to.
Let's pick hockey because it's only the Blackhawks.
All right. Blackhawks are playing the Blues tonight. Name three St. Louis Blues.
I love it. You can do this.
Okay, well, we'll get the
current.
I can't do it.
Wait. Start with the goalies. Goalies are easy.
No. You don't get to nurse Mike through this. I can't do it.
It doesn't have to do with Chicago, man. I can't help you.
They just eliminated the Hawks.
I mean, I'd say name three Blackhawks and you can win, but that would be really...
No, it's not a Blackhawks question. That's a Blues question.
Yep, I can't do it for you. All right, Mike, good effort. 312-981-7200, proving my point, by the way.
Come on.
See, we were having this discussion during the timeout.
I believe there are lots of hockey fans in Chicago.
Dave, you want to talk baseball or hockey? Welcome to 720 W. I'm not saying there's not hockey fans. Of course there are. But it's a love of the sport, not a love of the individual. Hey, Dave, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, man?
You want baseball or hockey to win your Lumel Natties?
Baseball, man.
Okay, are you a Sox or Cub fan, Dave?
Sox, all the way.
Okay. The White Sox are playing... team by the name of the Minnesota Twins tonight.
Tell me you didn't have to look that up. Okay.
No. Give me three Twins. Name three Twins.
Joe Mauer, Brian Dozier, and...
Mary-Kate Olsen.
Miguel Sano.
Look at him!
Okay.
Yes!
Okay.
Yes, Lumel's.
Wait, hold on. I want more. What position does Miguel Sano play?
What do you mean you want more?
I want more.
He won your game.
I want to see how good...
DH.
He's really a third baseman. Okay, fine.
He won your game.
He did.
Give the man his Lumel's.
All right, golly.
Come on, man.
I got you, Dave. You're in. Congratulations.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, buddy.
You got it.
Dozier has been on a home run tear.
Yeah, really? You've been paying attention to Brian Dozier and the Minnesota Twins? You're better than me, Harry. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I don't know that. I'm impressed.
No, we talked about the kid from St. Louis, right, earlier, Jed Yorko?
Yeah.
Okay, so Dozier has been doing even better in the home run department.
As of late or for the whole season? Because I know he's
second half of the season. I wonder how many home runs he has.
Well, let's since you're in, this is, by the way, people want to know what's going on with Minnesota Twins baseball. Don't think they don't, team. For those of you scratching your heads right now,
there's a guy that said job could be in jeopardy, Paul Molitor.
Look, all these people want to ask hockey questions.
Yeah, good.
Do we have any more gift cards? Dan?
We have two, so we do have one left.
We have one more? All right.
Can I have it?
Probably not. That'd be illegal.
Would be illegal.
That would be like payola pagola. That's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, you want a hockey question?
All right, yeah, let's do a hockey question. That sounds great.
All right, name me three Buffalo Sabres.
Oh, my stuff goes back to the 90s probably, so I don't know current stuff.
Well, you know, he did not say current. So I think you could name any three Buffalo Sabres.
No, see, Adam gets the spirit of the game. You can't do that. That's not legal.
The Buffalo Sabres are such a null and void team. They have a couple of great young players. The Red Wings. Hawks play the Red Wings tomorrow night, and they've got a home-and-home series coming up with the Dead Wings.
Adam, good effort. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, man.
God. What if you throw out the French Connection?
Christina, you want a hockey question?
Hello?
Yes, Christina.
Yeah, hockey.
All right, Terry wants to know the Red Wings. Go ahead. Three Red Wings.
Come on.
Do they have to be current?
Yes.
Oh, man. I'm just trying to think if he's still current.
Who are you thinking of?
Oh, God. I'm having a brain fart. Yeah. Z.
Is he number 40? I know who you're thinking of.
Yeah, I just... Zetterberg.
Look at there. Henrik Zetterberg. Good old number 40.
Good job. That's one.
Okay. Thinking. Larkin?
Larkin.
Oh, yeah.
Larkin out of nowhere. Dylan Larkin.
Yeah.
Good old number 71. Born at July 30th, 1996, out of Waterford, Michigan. You got one more off the top of your head? This is pretty good, Christina.
Dylan Larkin, by the way, University of Michigan Wolverine.
Go Blue. Up 14-7 on Wisconsin. 3:11 to go in the third quarter. Fourth quarter. We'll keep you up to date. Go ahead, Christina.
Okay, I'm just thinking. Wish I could use Chelly, but...
No, you can't use him.
Chelly's not a Red Wing. He's a Blackhawk. Don't do that to us.
They have a former Blackhawk on the Red Wings.
Well, I'm still a Cubs Sox fan, so I like to play both sides of things.
What are you?
Cubs and Sox fan.
Oh, okay.
See? The city.
Good for you, Christina. Good for you.
Mrazek? Is he on the Wings this year?
Mrazek.
Yes, he is.
Mrazek.
Yes. Mrazek.
Yes, he is.
I'm not sure if I'm saying it right.
According to Harry, you are.
You are. He's goaltender. Okay. Good old number 34.
I don't know if it's Mra or Mur.
I believe you've got yourself some Lou Malnati's
you
coming.
You do. From,
yay!
Good job, Christina. Very well done.
Yeah, I played like for a year and a half, and I was using the Zetterberg-style stick for a while. So
that's awesome.
Give her two pizzas. That's incredible.
That's awesome. You know what?
My back says no more, though, so I'm like bummed, but... Yeah.
Have you ever heard of yoga?
Yoga is actually not the greatest for your back. I'm supposed to try Pilates.
Okay, get in. There you go. Do a Pilates. I want to see you rehab.
Oh, my God, I miss it. I liked playing right wing, but I should have been on defense because they called me long arm because I'm 6 foot tall, and I was like a head above all the other women.
You don't find a lot of 6 foot tall hockey-playing women that can name three Red Wings in this town. I would think that there's a lot of guys out there waiting to meet you.
Yeah, and
the one class I went to on Wednesday nights at Leafs Ice Center, if I can give them a plug, there was a couple Red Wings fans there on the weeks I wasn't skating with the girls.
Good job, Christina. Everything you're doing in life is inspirational for all of us. Thanks, Christina.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, we're late for a break. Now, does that satisfy you?
That was fun. What do we call that? The spur of the moment Carm game?
Spur of the moment Carm game. It's very popular. It's sweeping the nation.
Kids love it.
Yeah. Hey, the Bears are playing
Bears
a football game tomorrow against the Detroit Lions. We'll start the 6 o'clock hour with little NFL talk, 720 WGN. WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. This is Dan Long's favorite band. Is this the Killers?
That's Queens of the Stone Age.
Sure, come on. Didn't you know that? Queens of the Stone Age.
That's my guy, Danny Long, rocking it out, baby. We're going to get some of my trendy music coming up in the 6 o'clock hour because that's what I do. I listen to...
Trendy music?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have my other... I got my new branch. You're fired up for Griffin House, Harry. He's coming here October the 25th, the City Winery, a personal friend. Would you like to go?
What night is it?
It's you might have a conflict if the Cubs are in the World Series.
Let's see. I'm doing the scales here. Cubs World Series.
Griffin House.
Hey,
Cubs World Series.
Griffin House sounds like he'll be great.
Griffin House is great. He's awesome. You should check him out. All right. So we're going to talk Bears football coming up after 6 o'clock here. Have you thought about not watching the Bears?
No.
Like, not at all?
No, I love the Bears. And I know that they're...
Not even, like, DVRing them and watching them quicker so it's, like, less painful.
No. You miss the best stuff if you DVR it and fly through it. Like tomorrow night when I go to Temple. By the way, Happy New Year.
To you too, Harry.
Rosh Hashanah to our the Shana Tova to our Jewish listeners. Tomorrow night I'll DVR the Chiefs and the Steelers, and I will come home and I will fly through that game. But the Bears, I like seeing what they're doing between plays, hearing what they're talking about. I got to watch the Bears every play, and they better win tomorrow.
They have a shot tomorrow. Lions are banged up, and they're the Lions. So there's all that. Here we'll do it right after 6 o'clock. I want to get into how Brian Hoyer played, and a little comparison to the guy six, Cuddy. I want to go Hoyer versus Cutler.
Oh, I don't think you want to do that.
I kind of want to do it. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Blackhawks hockey coming up at 7 o'clock. Blackhawks and the Blues at the United Center. And we'll talk some hockey right around 6:35 on this very program. Bears talk in a second, but just wrapping up the Cubs game. 7-4, they're down bottom eight. And John Lester will not get his 20th win on the season. He went five innings.
Darn it.
Six hits, five runs, all earned, walked three, struck out six, gave up a home run, and he threw 111 pitches, which is a lot for five innings.
He will not be complaining about pitch count tonight.
No, he won't, and his ERA for the year ends up at 2.44, so he's going to be 19-5 with a 2.44.
Just an outstanding year for John Lester, who dominated. When John Lester goes to the hill, the other team is in trouble. He's going to be your game one starter, Cubs fans, and we're in fantastic shape. And Mark, I was thinking about this. Lester means that David Ross will catch game one. Kyle Hendricks will get Wilson Contreras, and Arrieta's going to have Miguel Montero. When's the last time in a playoff series a team had three different catchers start the first three games?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question, right? I think maybe never.
Maybe never.
Maybe never. We got to get like Stats Inc. on that, something like that. That's above my pay grade right there. I can't pull that off. But it's weird that that's how it's right. Most likely going to go. I hate that Lester had a bad outing today.
It's good. Get it out of the way now. Get it out of the way. This game means nothing.
Just roll through. No bad outings. How about that? Just no bad outings. You're just going to roll through the playoffs. You're John Lester in October. He's the king.
Right. You're going to come home every night, and your wife's going to say, God, am I glad you're home and I'm married to you.
That happens, doesn't it, for you?
Sure it does. Well, go ahead. Get on one knee, sir.
Well, when and if I ever get married, that's what's going to be like, Harry. That's my vision. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's okay. I get it, but...
While I'm cooking your dinner, why don't you have a cigar in the living room and invite your friends over? Any friends.
Okay, I'm uncomfortable. 312-981-7200. Throw out the phone number to get away from the awkwardness.
There's no awkwardness.
What did you... Cigar in the living room.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to smoke in my house.
Yeah.
And I don't smoke. Since I quit drinking... Cigar is the vice, and cigars are not welcome in the house.
You see, I knew something was going on. I didn't know what it was, but no smoking in the house, Harry. That's a good rule.
Yeah, it is a good rule.
You've got young Reggie and young Lucy. You can't have that.
Now here's the weird thing. The kids can smoke cigars in the house.
You're having father-son night tonight, right?
Yes, we are. That's Reggie and I.
That's adorable.
We've been doing a Schwarzenegger fest. He's seen about six Arnold movies.
He's into Arnold, huh?
He loves Arnold movies.
That's good parenting.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Better than having him see, Woody Allen, per se.
I don't think he would follow Woody Allen. Annie Hall is one of the greatest movies ever. I don't think Reg would appreciate it right now.
Annie Hall is one of the greatest movies ever. So is Manhattan, but the recent times of Woody.
Manhattan's not in the same...
Better movie.
Ballpark.
Better movie.
Yeah, it's not even top five in Woody Allen movies.
That's my favorite. This is personal preference, Harry. I'm allowed to have Manhattan be my...
Annie Hall way at top and then Sleeper.
You're really putting Sleeper over Manhattan, one of the great love stories of all time?
Yeah, here's your love story. Woody Allen, funny. Do the funny stuff.
Play it again, Sam.
Mm-hmm. Play It Again, Sam, is spectacular.
Yes. If you like Funny Woody, then you're liking Play It Again.
Spectacular.
Good, good, good 1970s references going on right here on the show. These things happen. So it was about that long ago that the Bears were winning football games, it seems like, right now. So they
nice
got the
segue.
Well, there you go. So we've got the Lions, a little noon kick tomorrow, the 1-2 Lions and the 0-3 Bears. And Jordan Howard, a reason perhaps to be excited, the rookie running back, as the Bears are banged up, and who knows when Jeremy Langford or Kadeem Carey will play again. I want to start here, though. Did you see last Sunday night and just look at the numbers for a one Brian Hoyer? I know we're not together. Brian Hoyer.
Yes.
Harry.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. Brian Hoyer against the Dallas Cowboys, who I will grant you do not have a great secondary. And
not a great defense.
And not a good defense overall. Brian Hoyer was 30 of 49
mm-hmm.
for 317 yards,
mm-hmm.
two touchdowns, quarterback rating of 93.3. Okay. Nine times, like Ferris Bueller, 93.3. Jay Cutler.
Oh, my God. I knew you were going to do this.
Jay Cutler.
Don't do this.
In his two games where he started this year.
Uh-huh.
I won't even mention the Eagles game because he went out early. Let's go back to game one against the Houston Texans.
Right.
Jay Cutler, 16 of 29. 216 yards, one touchdown, one interception, quarterback rating of 76.2.
All right, first of all,
yeah.
First of all, Brian Hoyer's stats are inflated because the Cowboys were up so much that they were playing a very, very relaxed defense.
Mm-hmm.
So the 317 yards, it's really a fluffed number. It is an overblown number because the Cowboys were up 17-0 and they were very relaxed. In the second half, they were just very relaxed. They were giving the Bears so much room completing short stuff. Jay Cutler's interception, Kevin White ran the wrong play. That should not have been an interception. It should have been a first down.
Did Cutler have a good year last year? Because I said he did, but do you think he did?
Yeah, I think Cutler had a good year last year.
Green Bay, Oakland. I'm going through last
year. He won at Green Bay, right? How many quarterbacks won at Lambeau Field? Jay Cutler did.
Yeah, what's his record against the Packers?
It's awful.
Right. Green Bay, Oakland. I'm just reading off games from last year. Kansas City, Detroit.
Kansas City game was exciting.
It was exciting. Denver, Green Bay.
Let me remind, I'm sure many listeners are thinking this. The receiving core last year was brutal. Brutal.
It's better than what they had on the field on Sunday.
Well, what are you talking about? I mean, you got Alshon Jeffrey missed a bunch of games last year. Kevin White missed the entire season. Eddie Royal missed a ton of games last year.
You had Martellus Bennett. You had Matt Forte. Both those guys caught a lot of balls.
They did, but Matt Forte is awesome. He's a running back coming out of the backfield. He had Mariani starting.
Yeah, but okay, now you've got Cameron Meredith catching it. He's out there.
Meredith got thrown to one time. He's the fourth or fifth option as a receiver.
It wasn't great in either. I'll capitulate.
Healthy Eddie, healthy Kevin White. It's way better than what they had last year.
It's not way better. It is not way better.
It's way better. But like, look, I like Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer had an awful playoff game last year for Houston where the Chiefs went down to Texas and they destroyed the Texans. Brian Hoyer was awful. But Brian Hoyer's been pretty good. He's been on like seven teams. He's a Spartan, so we like Spartans in my house.
312-981-7200, Brian Hoyer or Cutler?
An hour ago, I was saying, what a great topic. Would you let the person you don't want become president if it meant the Cubs not winning the World Series this year? Great topic. Then last hour, you had Carm's spur of the moment game.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I don't hit all home runs. Maybe this will be a bomb, but I'll bet you 312-981-7200. If we get five callers in here right now, I'll bet you that at least four go for Hoyer.
You're insane.
Okay.
There's no way.
Okay. What do you want to put on that? What would you like to put on that?
Lou Mal 90s pizza.
All right, great. Me versus you for Lou Mal's.
Carm.
I've got
Carm.
A card in my back pocket right now. 312-981-7200. Hoyer or Cutler?
There have been frustrating moments by Jay Cutler. There's a lot of people.
Frustrating moments?
Yeah.
It's been 8 years of frustration.
Okay. Do you understand that Jay Cutler has had, what, 12 offensive coordinators in his 8 years here? He has also put up.
Why is that? Nobody can get along with the guy.
Oh, how about nobody? Adam Gase created a wonderful offense. Look at what Cutler did last year for Adam Gase.
No, it's more like look what Adam Gase did for Cutler.
They both helped each other. Hey, Adam Gase is a great young mind, and you know the Dolphins looked awful against the Bengals on Thursday night, both in terms of literally looked awful with the Tennessee uniforms, and their team looked awful. But Adam Gase helped Cutler, and Cutler helped Adam Gase. Cutler has also become a leader.
Leader?
Yes.
Oh, come on. He's coming off the field. Pernell McPhee is screaming at the guy.
So, and he's not even dressed.
Right. If he was a leader, you don't undress a leader like that. He has...
You undress him because he is the leader.
Oh, wow.
You don't scream at the trivial guy who's not the difference maker.
Hold on a second.
You expect the most out of Jay Cutler. That's why you're yelling at Jay Cutler.
312-981-7200, Hoyer or Cutler. Phone lines are open.
Not even a topic.
Okay. You know why it's also a topic?
Why?
Well, John Fox said, does Cutler get his job? He wouldn't even commit to it.
Well, that's the John Fox thing. You know, they're making
right. I'm John Fox. I'm not going to say anything ever, which is exhausting too. But.
By the way.
Yeah?
Do you have any, angst towards Jay Cutler, long-standing angst towards Jay Cutler? Aren't you the same guy when Josh McCown played extremely well that wanted Josh McCown to unseat Cutler as the quarterback?
Yes, I did. I absolutely did. But, and I was right. Josh McCown was a better quarterback than Cutler that year.
No, you're nuts.
Listen, you cannot, Harry, I think I'm assuming that we're together on this. Maybe we're not. You cannot win with Jay Cutler. It is time to move on. It's 8 years. If he was
He's playing behind one of the worst offensive lines in football. And I love the Bears. Kyle Long is awesome. I think Josh Sitton was a great pickup. And there's reason to think Cody Whitehair is going to be one of the better interior linemen in the NFL for years to come. But you've got the second year in a row that you have a new offensive line the first week of the season. This line did not play together during the preseason. Cutler was running for his life. Brian Hoyer was running for his life in Dallas.
312-981-7200. I'm going to prove a point here. Donna, Hoyer or Cutler? Donna?
Hi, this is Donna. Yes, I'm going definitely Hoyer.
What?
I'm not saying it's all Jay Cutler's fault, but he makes so much money. And there's no extra money to try to build up what's wrong with the team.
Well,
he's getting older. He's injury prone. He may go on to another team and do really well. I hope he does. He seems like a nice guy. But he just has to go. He hasn't worked for us.
Thank you, Donna. That's one for one.
Okay, hold on. Her point was not Hoyer should be starting ahead of Cutler. Her point was the money you're paying Jay Cutler. But that's what NFL quarterbacks earn.
Her point was that Cutler's brutal. That was her point.
Her point was, I wish we had more salary cap to share. That was her point.
Well, it's not even the money with Jay now. It'll cost him $2 million to cut him next year, which is peanuts. Henry, Hoyer or Cutler?
Hoyer.
Why?
You don't even have to say why, but go ahead.
You nailed it, man. Cutler is just brutal and time for change.
Thank you, Henry. It's not hard.
There's an anti-Cutler bias that exists in this town.
Yes, for a reason.
There are people that will text you, Cutler sucks,
five minutes
before the game kicks off.
Because it's enough. Genug. Genug.
Genug?
Goodbye. Thank you for your service and your...
Genug. Are the kids saying that one? I don't know that one.
No, that's like 1972. Mm-hmm. I just reawoke Genug. Hey, Jim, Cutler or Hoyer?
I mean, really, no one. I would honestly Hoyer.
Thank you.
They're so bad. It's Hoyer.
Thank you, Jim. That's three for three, Harry. Should we continue?
Look, three random calls happen to say Hoyer, but they're not saying Hoyer is better than Cutler.
They're just saying Cutler's brutal. They want change.
Cutler is way tougher than I thought he was.
Great, he's tough.
Okay, he's much more of a leader than I thought he was.
Tremendously tough.
Okay, I would rattle off quarterback after quarterback after quarterback that I'd prefer to have over Jay Cutler, but Jay Cutler is a much better choice to start for your team than Brian Hoyer.
He's like the 20th best quarterback in the NFL. Hey, John, Hoyer or Cutler? Hoyer was a starter last year.
I think it's no contest. I think Hoyer it's his time to shine. I think Jay Cutler's had his day in the sun. I think it's the time to go.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Who do you think is the Who do you think is the best quarterback that's never played in the Super Bowl?
The best quarterback that's never played in the Super Bowl?
Currently playing.
Currently playing in the league that's never played in a Super Bowl.
Right. There's a lot of options.
Trevor Siemian.
You could go Andrew Luck. You could go.
I'm not going Andrew Luck.
You could go Matt Ryan.
I'm not going. Matt Ryan's in the photo, but I wouldn't go Ryan. Right. I have to think about this. Philip Rivers.
That's my guy. Okay. Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers is such a great quarterback, and he has dealt with some bad offensive lines. He has dealt with not having great receivers. He has dealt with receivers getting injured. Second year in a row, his best receiver has gotten hurt. But he's such a great leader.
And leadership is not Cuddy's thing. Brandon Marshall used to be his best friend. Leaves here, terrible terms. Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, Martellus Bennett.
Martellus Bennett was bad.
I mean, how deep down the list do I have to go of people that have zero respect for the guy?
I don't think Brandon Marshall respects Cutler.
Oh, please.
Brandon Marshall respects Cutler.
They were best buddies. They don't. It's completely over. He torched him on his way out of here.
Brandon Marshall was just angry at the world. He was in the locker room screaming at everybody.
Harry. Dave, Hoyer or Cutler?
Definitely Hoyer.
Come on!
Thank you.
I got to tell you, I started off as a massive Cutler supporter, and I was all through the time while people were smashing on him, but it's past that point now. He has not earned his keep at this point, and for the last couple years, I don't even know the kind of money we're giving him for the kind of results that we're getting out of him.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Dave. And by the way, I like being on the contrarian side of things. It's more like, I'm happy to be, listen, I will roll down Hoyer Lane right now. Just go with Hoyer. Good night. Goodbye. We can't watch it anymore. Enough with the terrifying fear that if you get rid of Cutler, you can't find him. Look around the NFL, what's going on. Carson Wentz is dominating in Philly.
Yeah. You think Cleveland fans are happy if they traded away that pick? They could have had Carson Wentz.
Trevor Siemian is like a credible quarterback in the NFL right now.
Jim Phillips should be very proud.
Yeah. We got to go, or whatever. We're not going anywhere. But we're coming back to talk Hawks after the 6:30 news. This week on Chicago's Best, Hoyer. Whether it's Memphis or Texas style, Brittany and Elliot are smoking all the meats. It's Chicago's
They're
Best.
Smoking what?
All the meats. It's Chicago's Best Barbecue, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Real quick, Harry, text line 312. Harry, I'd like to give you... I'm sorry, Carm Harry. I'd like to give you Sports Radio's Best Two-Man Jew Crew. A Jewish New Year's menu quiz. Rosh Hashanah tomorrow. Which do you prefer? I'm assuming you can answer these. Manischewitz or Merlot?
It's been anything over Manischewitz, right?
Right.
I love the way Sammy Davis Jr. said, man on Manischewitz.
Canaldi boy or bean and barley? Do you know what he's talking about?
Bean and barley is a soup, so I assume he's talking about a soup.
I think it's like matzo balls or bean and barley.
Oh, I'll take matzo ball over bean and barley.
Chopped liver or gefilte fish?
That's not even a question. That's like Hoyer or Cutler. Gefilte fish.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Old school Carson's a little chopped liver on a bread before a rib.
Chopped liver is horrible. People go, what am I, chopped liver? Because chopped liver stinks.
I enjoy a good chopped liver, but I love a gefilte fish too. Brisket or tongue?
It depends. On a date?
He says, I'll allow.
If your date offers you brisket, you're in trouble.
probably true. But that she could be, you know, seducing you with a brisket.
Mm-hmm. Brisket.
Adam Hogue's calling in.
Love Adam Hogue.
Adam Hogue's calling in. Adam Hogue, welcome to your show. What's up, Adam Hogue?
Did I just tune in to hear you making the case for Brian Hoyer?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Thank God you...
It's enough. It's enough.
What's enough?
500 record, slightly under 8 years. His every single teammate seemingly has ripped on the guy. It's enough. Time to go.
Okay. So what about this season, though, and this roster tells you that any of it is the quarterback's fault?
Brian Hoyer.
Oh, jeez.
Brian Hoyer had a quarterback rating of 93.
Wait, tell them they were on a prevent defense the whole damn game.
I don't care what the defense was. I'll find any...
Did you turn the game on at halftime? Just admit it. Did you not watch the first half?
I was there the whole way, holding Hamp, OB, and Kaz's hand.
Okay. So you did watch the first half?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see the first play of the game?
That I didn't see, actually. I was walking from the studio to the first. I didn't see that one, Togi. What happened on the first play?
After a week to prepare, Brian Hoyer didn't hand the ball off when he was supposed to hand the ball off.
Oh, right. Yeah, and then I walked in. They were already down. These things happen. He was give the guy a little. Listen, he was a starter last year.
Yeah. Apparently, you didn't watch the Houston Texans last year either.
He wasn't very good.
Adam.
It doesn't matter, is the point. There's been a terror in this city for years that you can't move on from Jay Cutler. Yes, you can, and yes, you should.
And I'm not saying they shouldn't, you know, after the season, or if they really have an option, that's fine. But right now, you cannot make the case that Brian Hoyer is a better quarterback than Jay Cutler.
Right. He's got, like so many other Bears fans, he just hates Jay Cutler. He's got this Cutler angst, and he cannot fairly assess the, you know, the comparing the two quarterbacks, because Cutler should definitely start ahead of Hoyer.
Teammates probably feel the same way. He's walking to the sidelines and he's getting blitzed by Pernell McPhee. That dude has to tell you something.
Did Pernell know he was hurt? That still doesn't make sense for him chewing out the quarterback when the guy was gusting out a game where he couldn't even grip a football correctly.
Hey, Dan Long's yelling at me that we got a breaking.
Can I ask Adam?
You want to hang on and talk at 6:35?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, hang on.
I want to ask Adam about what happened in Iowa today.
Yeah, we can do that too.
Okay.
All right. Quick timeout. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmody's Harry Tino. It's great to have Harry in here today. Adam Hogue on the road, covering your Northwestern Wildcats. And now joining his own show to scream at me because I want Brian Hoyer starting over Jay Cutler, because I can't. The Cutty thing's got to end, Hogue. You should be the guy covering the Bears every day just to lead the charge. Say enough is enough is enough. Write the article and just pound it home the rest of the season. Get her done. You'll be a hero.
First of all, I just want on the record that I only called in to talk to Harry. okay. So, yeah. Here's the thing. Why is it in this town, and it's partly the Jay Cutler enigma or whatever that just seems to persist, but in years where the Bears have a good backup quarterback, and that's what Brian Hoyer is. I don't want to take anything away from his performance in the second half against Dallas. I think it was a good sign, and one of my biggest takeaways from that game was, hey, the Bears have a capable backup. But why is it then, whenever they do have a backup, he's got to immediately replace Cutler? Enough of Cutler. He's got to kick Jay out of here. This guy should be the starter, because that's exactly what happened with Josh McCown a few years ago. And then what happened? McCown went off to Tampa and wasn't that good. They ended up deciding they need to go draft Jameis Winston, and now he's in Cleveland. He's been banished to Cleveland.
Yeah, but you,
I mean, that. And then in years they don't have a backup, everyone starts loving Jay again, and then they kill the front office for not finding a backup quarterback. Why? It's got to be one way or the other, and either way, Bears fans seem to be unhappy about it.
Adam, it's only been that way forever. Yep. I mean, it's not just like recently. It's not like the last 10 years or the last 20 years. It's been that way forever. The most popular guy in town is the Bears' second string quarterback, because with him, there's hope. Well, you know, if they would just go to the backup, things could be a lot different.
Well, God forbid the backup's name this year would be Dak Prescott, who's lighting it up for the Cowboys when the Bears had 3 fourth-round picks. And I know I've made that point 7,000 times on this radio station since the start of the season, but how are you not drafting a quarterback?
Well, hey, and I've made that point a million times, too. I completely agree with that. And I wrote that last week before the Cowboys game that, you know, even if it wasn't Dak Prescott, they should have drafted somebody. They waited. They had 9 draft picks. They didn't take a quarterback. They've had 14 draft picks since Ryan Pace took over as general manager. They haven't drafted any quarterbacks, and this goes back a long time. And they don't when they do draft quarterbacks, they're always late-round quarterbacks. They don't use top 3 rounds to ever identify a QB, and that's got to change eventually. So, look, long-term, I'm with you. Maybe it's time to start looking at moving on from Jay, but I just if we're going to put Jay Cutler and Brian Hoyer in a vacuum – Jay's the better quarterback. There's no question about it.
You couldn't have said it better. Next year will not be Cutler, but this year there's no doubt.
Who knows what next year will be? Why won't it be Cutler?
Because his contract will be up.
It's not up. They can get out of it, but it's not
million,
up.
$2 million. Okay, it's nothing in the NFL.
Yeah, but who do we have? I mean, the whole thing has been who do we have?
Right, and Connor Cook was still available late. Michigan State quarterback.
Well, there's a lot of things to factor, guys. One, can they trade him? Because, yes, it's a lot of money every year, but the contract is favorable in the sense that you can always get rid of him. It's a series of one-year options going forward. So there's got to be some team out there that looks at that and goes, oh, well, we're willing to invest in that for at least 1 year, knowing that they can always get out of the contract going forward. And there's always a team desperate for a quarterback. So is that something they look at possibly? What is the market for Jay Cutler? That'll depend on things. And also, who's available in the draft? You can't just blow a draft pick on any quarterback. You have to really like the guy that you're picking. And we don't really know how it's going to shape up yet because we don't know which juniors are going to declare. And right now the seniors aren't all that impressive at the quarterback position.
DeAndre Levy's not going to play. He's the Lions' best linebacker, maybe their best defensive player. Ziggy Ansah is their best pass rusher. He's not going to play tomorrow. And no Calvin Johnson. He's dancing with the stars. So don't the Bears win this game tomorrow?
You know, I have the Lions, Harry, and it has less to do with the Lions as it just does the Bears' inability to put together 4 quarters of good football yet this season. Maybe they'll do it Sunday. They did it. This is what happened last year. They started 0-3. They looked bad in Week 3, and then they came back and they played the Oakland Raiders in Week 4 and won. It's a very similar situation, so maybe it happens. But I just look at this and I go, look, they're too banged up. They don't have Cutler out there. And I just need to see more consistency, and maybe they'll show it tomorrow. But right now, I just got to ride with the Lions. Put together a pretty good second half against the Packers last week, kind of a similar situation where they were getting blown out, and the Packers backed off, and the Lions took advantage.
If you want to be positive, though, the Lions tomorrow, winnable game at the Colts. Indianapolis stinks. That's another winnable game. The Jaguars at home. Better expectations for the Jaguars this year, but they've been brutal.
Colts have jet lag.
So, and then it gets a little bit harder with the Packers and the Vikings. I won't mention that, even though I just did. Hey, Adam, we got Blackhawks hockey coming up. Any one little nugget from Northwestern that you didn't say on the broadcast today that you could put out there right now?
Well, I had a good feeling before the game. I saw Jim Phillips right before kickoff on the sideline. We were talking about it. We both had a good feeling. There was just something about this team going on the road this week that I like. And that's kind of what we saw in the game. Can I tell you a story, too, of something that just happened to me? Do we have time?
We do. Go ahead. You go ahead. Take your time.
So I'm driving back. Right now I'm still in the car coming back from Iowa City, and I was listening to the Wisconsin-Michigan game on the radio. And I drove, I got to Prophetstown, Illinois, which for those that don't know is the hometown of Brett Bielema, former Wisconsin head coach, now head coach at Arkansas. So I said, let's pull over and watch the fourth quarter of this game. And I found what I think is the one bar in the entire small town of Prophetstown.
Good job.
And they have a bunch of Arkansas stuff hanging up in the wall. The owner said they used to be rooting for Wisconsin all the time. He's an enormous celebrity there, Brett Bielema. And actually, the owner told me that his brother, Brett's brother, was actually in the bar like right before I got there.
That's
cool.
There you go.
That's the story.
And Brett Bielema has a tattoo of the Iowa Hawkeyes.
That is true. He does, because he played. That's where he played his college football.
And you watched a ridiculous interception made by the Michigan Wolverines and a very tough loss for the Badgers, 14-7. The Wolverines hold on. Wisconsin's defense proved to be real. Michigan came in averaging 52 points a game. Wisco holding them to 14, but not enough on the offensive side of the ball.
That's true, and that interception was incredible. And even though it sealed the game in the opposite way of Wisconsin, I actually was, like, happy that I saw that because it was such a cool play. Back to Iowa, wasn't that the most perfect day of Iowa Hawkeyes football, Carm? Yeah, bad weather. You had a loss at home in a game they probably should have won on their home field, and you also had the fans acting ridiculous and throwing stuff on the field, showing the class that every time I go to Iowa City, I always see.
Just slow your roll. Iowa City is full with great people, great students, and they had a right to be upset today. Now the reaction.
They didn't. Those were two good calls.
Yeah, questionable.
And they're turning their back on a team that has been fantastic.
They're not turning their back. I will say this about the Iowa fan. They're a very angry fan when things go wrong.
They pointed out on the broadcast, Dave Vanna, Ted Albrecht, Adam Hogue pointed out on the broadcast that the defense was so staggered by those back-to-back calls that they weren't prepared for the big touchdown pass there.
All right, now we really do have to go. Adam,
okay.
Love you.
Love you, too. The Iowa City trifecta. That's what
I call it. See
you,
Hoagie.
See you, Adam.
Adam Hoagie.
Any Hoagies. That was a Hoagie he gave us, nugget. That was a Hoagie.
That's good. That's good. Uh-huh. That's good. Hey, we'll give you a little Blackhawks preview. They're coming up at 7. Coming right back. 720 WGN. Blackhawks and Blues coming up from the United Center. I'll give you a preview in 30 seconds, but I do want to... Scottie Pippen took to Twitter today.
Mm-hmm.
Bulls open up their preseason schedule on Monday with the Bucks. Scottie Pippen, I have to say I'm encouraged by what I'm hearing out of Bulls camp. Guys are on the same page, and there's a positive vibe from this group. Then he continues on. Dwayne Wade stepped right up as a leader. Very few can bring the kind of championship experience and pedigree he's got to the table. It always takes time to get that chemistry going, but with Wade, Rondo, and of course Butler, they no doubt have some playmakers on offense. I also think at Doug McDermott is poised to take a nice step forward this year. That's when I lost you, Pip, but that's what he said. His athleticism and versatility are underrated. I actually agree with that. High IQ as well. He's more athletic than people give him credit for, mainly because of the color of his skin. And then lastly, preseason games will be important for the Bulls. New faces and a new identity. Looking forward to watching them progress starting Monday.
Well, you know, McDermott is a coach's son.
Yep.
And that's, you know, I've always been a big advocate of Kirk Heinrich, you know, coach's son.
Picked over Dwayne Wade because they wouldn't trade Daniel Marshall. Go ahead. Sorry, I just had to say that.
You know, I think Taj Gibson should be the starting power forward on this team, not Mirotić, not McDermott. But they're saying that they noticed a difference in the way McDermott's playing defense.
That's hard to believe.
Did I like Taj or that McDermott's playing defense?
The defense part, yes. I love Taj. When the New York Knicks come in here,
oh, that's going to be a good game.
On November the 4th?
That's going to be a good game. And Joakim Noah, will he?
Yeah, we didn't talk about Noah today, but an interesting week for Noah, who did not go to an army base because he's anti-war. The entire Knicks team did. But I'm telling you, just to be honest, it's going to be hard for me not to be rooting for Derek and Joakim to have a huge game and beat the Bulls.
And Derek's already been praising the Knicks fans.
Yeah, that's, well, because he didn't get a great ride at the end here.
Why do you think that is?
Because
I personally like Derrick Rose, and he was really cool to me personally. But when you say Chicago is the biggest work hard, play hard town, it is filled with people living paycheck to paycheck. It is filled with diehard sports fans, people that love the Chicago Bulls. And when you're a Bulls fan, you know, you watch the Bulls and you give them 200%. You're tired at work the next day because you were watching the Bulls on the West Coast. And Derrick Rose says things like, hey, you know, I might not play every game this year because I don't want to be limping at my son's graduation in 14 years.
Yeah, that wasn't great. He had a lot of bad moments with the words. But at the end of the day, people didn't like that he was taking care of his body. and himself, which also, by the way, would take care of the team long term. All right, enough with that. We'll do more as that comes along. So Blackhawks and Blues tonight.
The Blackhawks.
Yes, sir. So we got a lot of youth.
Yes.
I'm excited about Vinny and Estrosa. I'm telling you, this guy's going to step up and be in the mix here. And I think he, I'm not going to say he's going to be a 20 goal scorer, but I think he's going
to
do something.
Go to number 48. Well, with the Blackhawks, I'm looking forward to the broadcast coming up. John Weidman, Troy Murray, and of course Judd. With the Blackhawks, challenges. Stan Bowman has so much. Stan Bowman does this, you know, like better than anybody else because of the commitment to half the team. You know, the huge financial commitment. You're counting on about, you know, on getting a ton of production from a lot of young guys, unproven guys, and then, you know, the guys like Jordan, you know, Tutu. And, you know, don't laugh. He's a tough SOB, Jordan Tutu.
Okay, I'm not laughing.
Okay. It's like, of the young guys, I like Svedberg. He played very good last year. And I also like Carroll, who's a forward. He wears number 67. He's great on the penalty kill. And the big move is Brian Campbell.
Okay.
Brian Campbell getting that money.
Yeah, and he's talking about the preseason for him as a regular season because, you know, he's trying to get himself ready and wants to be going 100% right now back in town. I'm sure super excited, 37 years old.
He gave the Hawks a hometown discount
because
he
team,
wanted to play in Chicago. What, I love Brian Campbell's so great. What a top four defenseman you have on this team.
So we got hockey coming up for you. Thanks to Adam Hogue for jumping on. Thanks to Dr. Jim Phillips. Thanks to the franchise, Anthony Walker. Mostly, Harry, thanks to you, pal. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you. All that and Tom Dreesen.
Yeah, and Tom Dreesen, right.
Dave Enner did a great job on the call to win. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Blackhawks hockey up next, 720 WGN.